romantic decision.
Blog Talk Radio.
Based upon whether or not, you know, based upon the color of the man. It's such a stigma now that you're having to make your romantic decisions based upon the color of a man. So we're discounting other individuals because you're like, well, hey, you're a nice guy, but I can't fool with you because I'm concerned. What will the social backlash be for me if I let this get worse? And that's just how dogged this has gotten here, is that we're having... Now it's degenerated to the point that, and you all are not the only ones. I've met many, many light-skinned black women, biracials, so on and so forth, who have told me that they deliberately made the decision that they were going to marry, have children with, date, whatever, always the darkest man they could find, always, because they're kind of just spending the rest of their lives trying to, I guess the word is, re-earn your black bona fides back. Or whatever the case might be, that this really has a lasting effect. And that's the problem that I have, is that we're going to waste so much time trying to, quote, re-earn something that we already have, as opposed to getting on with our lives and getting on with the business of tackling white supremacy and regaining black empowerment. You're so busy trying to regain a social status that we haven't been allowed to get back to gaining black empowerment. That's something that stands out as a problem to me. So if I can play devil's advocate for a moment, since you all are qualified to make those calls, and the phone lines are now open at this time, the channel.net radio, you can call us at 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the Blackest Radio program in existence. And you do, as always, I advise you to call in early. I'm hoping we won't crash Blog Talk's a little bored again, like we always seem to do. But you are advised to call in early. The sooner you call in, the longer, of course, we can leave you on the line. If you decide until the last minute, do not complain when you have to simply wait till it's broadcast. So calling in early is always the best way to go. But if I can play devil's advocate here for a moment, if you have a situation where you are trying to find the darkest black man that you can, doesn't the inverse of that imply that it is because you are trying to prove something? That if you say, I see myself as myself, and yet conversely, you are trying to look for the darkest black man you can find to prove something, then doesn't that by definition mean that you are not okay with it the way it is, and that is an overriding factor in your decisions? If you're putting much thought into who you're having children with, how can you say that doesn't have any effect on the statements you make, on what you speak on what you don't speak on?
For me, it wasn't, I didn't think that far. I like what I like, and that's what I gravitated to. I never thought so far ahead that, oh, I should have a child with a skinned black man. I just knew that's what I liked. I didn't think of it. Now, the but is, I have children who don't have to deal with most of this crap that I've been dealing with. But I never thought that far into it. You know, I never had a conversation with myself about finding the darkest man I could find. That's just what I liked.
As for me, when you asked the question earlier, would I want to be darker, and I said no, because I'm comfortable in who I am. Like you said, I love dark skin. My father wasn't dark, but he was darker than me. Maybe I rebelled against my mother because she said she didn't want any dark-skinned children. So there's a generational thing goes on, you know, in your psyche. So maybe I rebelled against her, but I absolutely love dark-skinned men. I will, and it's not a prejudice thing, it's a preference. I will look for the blackest. I will. I love that. My skin up against that skin, that's a turn-on for me. I don't shun. I have had liking boyfriends. I have, you know, in my time that I will look over there and be like, "Who you black?" Because I'm a black woman. So I don't think it's contradictory, but it might be. Like I said, you know, my father, a product of 10 children, he had to go through the back door, and the light-skinned children had to go through the front door. So maybe it was a rebellious thing for me. I don't time on that. It's not nothing that I think, oh, this is what I'm going to seek out to do. It's who I am. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does, as far as experience, but it's, you can understand, though, or have you all ever actually thought about, you know, maybe this did have an effect on, not to the point where it's this dark cloud hanging overhead, but that maybe it has curved or colored, if I can use that expression, that your experiences have colored your reactions to things, that you, because everybody knows when you go through difficult experiences, you develop coping mechanisms. And that this possibly, this reflexive function that we have going on has colored these experiences colored your reactions to such a way that you've developed this as a coping mechanism.
I would say it would have.
So that's fine by me. That's okay.
I would say it would have.
That's fine by me. Oh, and I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I would say would have, Jason, had I never did a light-skinned man, had I never dated a caramel man, had never dated a milk chocolate man, had I just had one preference which was dark throughout my life, then yes, you can say that. But for some people, it is like that. Some people won't date light. Some people won't date dark. It could be that way, and it could be preference. But for me, no. I identify with it. I've seen it going on. It hurt my feelings. But at the end of the day, I have the right to choose who I am attracted to, overall bearing on my preference.
But that's precisely my point, though. If you've had a situation where you've grown up all your life with your identity being questioned, then are you truly capable of being able to make, quote, the choice about that kind of thing? If you spent your whole life fighting to establish that, have you ever actually been given the opportunity to make that choice? Have you even actually been allowed to genuinely choose?
I have, because I do what I want to do. I choose who I want to choose. I don't look to other people for acceptance or for validation. So I do. Can't speak on someone else, but I do.
If it's coping mechanism, it's a great coping mechanism. I've dated a lighter skinned dude. For the most part, I have a preference for darker skinned men, and perhaps, you know, there is some underlying psychological thing. I really never thought about it. You know, there was just never a question in my mind, will I have children with a white man or a black man? Never a question in my mind. I always knew I was going to have black children.
I've raised the question before, and this was the question that upset a lot of people out there. And after this, I'm going to get to phone lines. This question upset a lot of people out there when I asked this, that how can you claim that you are going to speak for black empowerment, but at the same time, you are dating with or whatever a member of the dominant culture? How can you say that you're going to speak on behalf of ours, and yet you have made a personal connection and allegiance to the dominant culture? How can those two opposing tendencies work together? And, of course, everybody recognizes, well, it can't work together. You can't do that. Can someone who has a direct lineage outside of the African community, can that person truly claim, from a personal standpoint, can they truly claim blackness the way that someone like myself could, or someone like, you know, Steve Biko or whatever? Can they actually make that work?
I say no. Because you're divided. You're influenced by someone outside of your race. So I say no.
I think you can claim and say whatever you want, but you know, in your heart of hearts, how can you do both?
Can I get some good information from them? Yes, I can, because I can get good information from anybody. But can you claim to be about black empowerment and you have someone of another race? No.
Does that also extend to your family, to your parents?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me explain.
Well, I would say that you're not going to teach me black power. You're going to blur the lines. You're not going to empower me with my history, with my ancestors. You're going to blur those lines. That no longer matters. You're just a human being. So you're going to, ooh, I can't even think of the word, hinder me from knowing everything that I should know about myself and my African-American heritage in that kind of situation.
Because I had to go outside of my parents. I had to go to my aunt. I had to go to my aunt for black empowerment. So, yeah, that would go to my parents also. That's a good way to put it. The lines blurred. You know, they want you kind of, they don't want you over here, but they want you kind of in the middle and just to assimilate. No, and my aunt was like, no, you're black. Embrace it, learn your history. History. We talk for hours about history. And she tells me about the things she saw as a little kid and where they sold slaves in the chains in the Carolinas. You know, we have those conversations. I didn't get that from my parents.
Then, since you said you had to go to your aunt, since much has been made about your parents and whatnot, do you feel then that to what extent or to any extent do you feel like that disqualifies you to speak on black issues?
I don't think it disqualifies me because you can't disqualify my DNA and you can't disqualify, you know, my children. They will have a strong sense of pride in being black. They will be pro-black empowerment. They will know the history.
Okay, playing devil's advocate then. If
hold on one second, Jason. Can I just address that real quick? You can speak on it. Melissa doesn't even have to be black to speak on a black issue. You can see it. You can see it in World Star. You can see it in these groups on Facebook. You can see it on these posts. You see it on the videos. You can see it. You don't have to live in the hood to speak on the hood when you're surrounded by it. You're being attacked by black women. When there are vicious things being spewed at you, you can speak on that. Yes, you can. That doesn't have to be your experience when it's just out here, the ratchetness and the boredom and the twerking and the booty shots and the blackness. Anybody can speak on it. A Chinese woman can speak on it. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just had to get that out.
That's quite all right. Let's go ahead and see if we can open up the phone lines here. We've got people on the line already. So caller from the 602, You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name's Eric. Calling out of Phoenix.
Okay, make sure you turn down your speakers back because I can hear me echoing. What's on your mind, brother?
That's my apologies. Okay, I'm hearing the conversation, and what bothers me is everyone, well, the ladies are quite well aware of the system of white supremacy, and yet they act shocked that they are victims of it twice by being black and twice by being light-skinned. It is intellectually dishonest to play that game. You are light-skinned, you get preferential treatment from the opposite sex, and you get no preferential treatment from the white man. This should not be no shocker when it's been happening to you your whole life. And I just feel like this is just completely fraudulent. There is no woe is me for being light-skinned and having to be teased at worst as a child. You know, there's kids that get teased at a buck tooth. There's kids that are teased for being cockeyed. You know, so just being teased and, you know, to be, oh, I'm black first, I understand that we live in this white-dominated society, and then it's, well, why are they picking on me? It's BS. And Mona, you have been saying light-skinned all day. It's light-skinned. You have the cadence and the voice of an old hood rat.
Wow, that was very high brow of you.
Can I address that?
Sure.
First of all, sir, let me correct you. We are talking about light skin. Second of all, I am light skin. Third of all, who are you to tell you my experience on how people treat me as a light-skinned woman? And I don't get preferential treatment from all black men. There are black men that don't like light-skinned women. So what are you talking about?
Hey, listen, like there are four-leaf clovers, but they're not the majority. You know, what I'm saying is if you were being honest, you would admit that, okay, I have had special treatment in comparison when sitting next to the darker woman. All I'm saying is
how can you say that? She asked the question, how can you speak on her life experiences? You don't know that. You're making an assumption. Have you seen her? Have you personally seen Mona Lachey get preferential treatment over another black woman? When did you ever witness this? Where were you? And why come she didn't see you?
You're being dishonest, Jason.
No, you're being dishonest. Delusional.
You're being dishonest. You're going to sit here and pretend.
Tell me where
you're
she got it.
Okay, Jason, you're a black man in America. Are you going to say that the light-skinned girl does not get preferential treatment from the opposite
sex? I did not ask about the light-skinned
sex.
Girl. You said Mona was getting it. Give a final time. Substantiate that statement when you witness her getting preferential treatment right now.
Don't be a fool.
Okay,
I haven't witnessed.
What
I don't
really
know the lady.
Saying is that you made that up. You got on my podcast lying and making things up. You ain't seen a damn thing, but you said it anyway. So that's what you really meant to say right now is you're making it up. You feel a certain way. So instead of giving us facts, you told us what you feel like a little emotional 13-year-old PSing. I feel this way. So I will speak it as if I witnessed it, even though I've never seen it. Now I'm going to tell you something, Eric.
I think she smokes cigarettes. She talks like
right
she smokes
now.
Cigarettes.
Understand something, brother, about what I'm about to say to you. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. I don't know why you're here. Don't you ever, ever call me again for the rest of your life. Do you understand, idiot?
I'm calling back.
Can I address that?
Certainly, and then I'm going to move on.
Okay, how do you take ignorance, oppression, and segregation of my sisters as any sense or form of preferential treatment? Say about that.
no, what you have, understand something here, if I may, because I was attempting, as you all heard here before, I was attempting previously to do this as Jason Black, the Black Authority, but since that call there, unfortunately, Jason has left the room and the Black Ayatollah has instead taken his place. Let me say something to you brothers out there and to niggas, the one who just got off the phone. Did he just say niggas? Yes, I did. There's a bunch of you out there who are so sexually frustrated, you just can't stand yourselves. And that's the reason why you are alone. There's a reason why there are so many dudes who control female like Melissa and Mona in relationship talk, because you don't have a woman. And that type of ignorant, moronic, inner city slum psychopathy that just got off the phone, that was it right there. They can't sit down for 2 seconds. He has no power whatsoever. The first thing he got phone about was whining and moaning like the little fairy from Togo who called in for the last 2 days about what white folk ain't giving him. Words out of his mouth are worth about what white ain't giving him. Why can't they give me some more? Don't you know we live under a system of white supremacy? They haven't given me. Give me. He has nothing. He has no power. He has no influence. He doesn't have anything at all. Period. He hasn't shown up one bit here where he's got the authority over anybody other than his mouth. And that's where the stalking comes from. That's where the obsession comes from. Let me all tell you something. I talk to Melissa Ortiz on a regular basis. It ain't that special. She talks to me on a regular basis. She will tell you it ain't so special that you have to be stalking me for 2 months, okay? I'm not that important. I am Jason Black, and I would never make a dozen videos about me. There's not that much material there for a dozen videos about me. I don't have that. Now, if you black males actually had some authority out there, you wouldn't have time to call in with that kind of foolishness. If you had authority, you would be with your woman building something, instead of stalking a woman online, building nothing. That's what you would be doing. Let me make this very clear, and I don't give a damn if it sounds like I'm bragging or not. I just handed one racial hypocrite his guillotine papers. And if you don't know what a guillotine is, look it up. Because they wanted to sleep with Melissa and kept striking at the bat like Casey. This is what black males do when they see a female they can't sleep with. You're supposed to be over hitting girls on the arm and pulling their hair when you're 5. You're supposed to be over that. Grown-ass men. Grown men up here acting like this. Wonder why you're a joke. You wonder why you can't get any respect from anybody. You wonder why you are sitting up here talking about Melissa Ortiz and not talking to her. Talking about Mona Lachey and wishing you could run next to her and not able to ever actually do it. Your first clue that you're a loser is you're trolling on the internet. That's your first clue. That should tell you something. Because let me make this very, very clear to every jackass out there who wants to stalk people and harass them. There's a reason why you are calling my number. Is this thing on? There's a reason why you are calling my number to talk about them. Ain't nobody calling any number anywhere from here to Saturn to talk about you. And they never will. I open up my broadcast so that I can tell people about the truth. And if they listen, fine. If they don't, that's okay also. But I don't open up my broadcast talking about the rigors and the ravages of white supremacy when some ghetto moron subway bus riding token ass nigga, and I said the way I meant it, comes into the room and the first thing that he wants to talk about is white supremacy, and that that's the reason why the white-skinned females will not speak to him. That tells you how low he is. That tells you how low you are. That tells you how insignificant you are. That's the kind of guy who beats his girlfriend. You're supposed to be listening to the other fellow's radio broadcast if you do that. Not this one. I have no patience, no time, and no interest in the woman beaters and the psychological woman beaters who hate women. I'm not interested in you. In the individuals who he can't get a light-skinned woman, but he wants one, so he's sexually frustrated, so he will psychologically beat on them if he can. That's what you end up with. Some bummy, dusty nigga with an Obama phone calling my broadcast on a Tuesday evening to complain about the women who won't speak to him because he's not with one. And he's been trying to break back into my chat room ever since the broadcast started. I've been on now for an hour and a half. That same idiot who was just on the phone from Phoenix has been trying to break back into my chat room ever since I started broadcasting. An hour and a half. No power, influence, or relevance. But he wants us to believe somewhere along the line he's going to gain it. So he's going to go beat up on a bunch of women and hope to himself that that makes him a man. Hey, Eric, why don't you put up a video telling everybody about how you've overcome and defeated white supremacy? You complain about the white supremacist system. You get on my phone and whine and moan about it. Why don't you tell us all what you've done to defeat it? Oops, oh, I'm sorry, you haven't done anything. Sitting there in Phoenix, looking out the window, as the Latinos have more power and relevance than you do. The other thing that you don't like about Melissa Ortiz, name sounds too much like somebody who's been whipping your ass. And so you can't beat Jorge Ortiz, and you can't beat Juan Ortiz, and you can't beat Miguel Ortiz. Well, maybe I can go over here and call up Melissa Ortiz. Let's do that instead. Let's see what that does. Maybe I can make that happen instead. This is why black males don't have any influence. Because you whine about white supremacy, and then you go up to a black female, complain about it. Like it's going to do a damn thing to white supremacy. Like the young man's been calling for 2 days now, whining about European imperialism in Africa and coming up with why he couldn't do anything about it. Whining. Not giving solutions, just whining. And for those of you in the chat room saying that you missed it, that's what you get for slacking while you're off trying to watch reruns of The Walking Dead. Hopefully you've learned your lesson. Jason Black, why do you defend Melissa so much? I'm not defending Melissa. I'm defending rationality and manhood. And that is lost average black male today. Because you are so weak and effete.
Look it up.
Never mind. Effete. Effeminate. Lacking of masculinity. This is what you're reduced to. I should never wake up in the mornings and have somebody sitting up here with posts about Melissa, Mona, or any damn thing else. 3 weeks later, can I just be honest with you all? And Melissa, you might have a time drilling this to your little curly hair, to your skull, but understand something, because Mona's a bit older than you are, and she will tell you that every damn thing I'm about to tell you is the truth. Half the niggas saying greasy mess about you are sitting in their rooms pleasuring themselves to your picture. And I'll be damned if anybody can prove me wrong. I'll be damned if you can prove me wrong. Please sitting there in Phoenix right now, working up a sweat. Truth be told, because let me tell you something, and let me be honest about this. And you all can record this, replay this. I will be damned if the Black Authority is going to be online, on the street, or on the phone talking about a female that he does not have future intentions with for 3 weeks straight. If I'm not getting something out of it, I'm not talking about her 3 weeks or a month later when she doesn't even acknowledge my existence. What kind of loser sits up here and is talking about a woman 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months? Yeah, fella, that's you. Or in your case, a year later. Ain't touched her. Talked to her on the phone. That must have been a hell of a conversation. When it's a year later and you still talking about, can I? This blackmails today. They say that I talk down to people. I don't talk down to a damn thing. When you are weak and you are expressing it through your behavior, obsessing over a female because you are helpless and hopeless and worthless in the face of white supremacy, I ain't talking down to your ass. I'm telling the truth. And you see how weak you are, and you feel like I'm talking down to you. I didn't make you into a roach. You made yourself into one. Reason why I got two pretty high yellow females on my phone, Eric, and you're off there in Phoenix listening to them on the over the internet. I talk to them, you talk about them. And you know why? Because that's what happens when you're a loser, Eric. That's what happens when you're a loser, Mew. That's what happens when you're a loser. You know who you are. If you had power with women, you wouldn't have to worry about trying to get annoyance over them. I don't have to sit up here and female attention, female obeisance.
Look it up.
That's right, I got you going to your dictionary tonight. Obeisance, you might need a little bit of help spelling that one, though. But it'll be worth the search. I don't have to beg for that. I ain't bragging. I don't have to beg for that. Because when females listen to me, they're not sitting up worrying about, is this guy going to be begging me for sex? Is he going to be begging me for money? I don't have to worry about any of that. And that's why the loser is still in my chat room right now, trying to break back in. He's still in there, still hoping that Mona will give him just a little sniff. No, she's not giving you anything but the back of her hand. No. That's why you are trying to get her attention, not the other way around. This is how weak black males today. I started today talking about black females, but this is how weak black males have become. That the most you can do is troll black females and hope that somebody pays attention. Brother, don't nobody give a damn about your cocaine, marijuana-induced ramblings about white supremacy. Tell us what the hell you've done about them. Was whining to Melissa and whining to Mona and whining to me isn't going to stop any of that. The reason you're doing it, because you want me to tell you that whining about it actually a substitute for doing something. Hey, y'all, I can't beat Jorge. I can't beat Ortiz. I can't beat Dominguez. Maybe I can beat Melissa. I don't know if he's got speakers on. Idiots like him always have speakers on. I don't know if he has speakers on, but if there is a female who knows Eric, it won't be a girlfriend. It'll be a sister or his mother. Trust me, he doesn't have a girlfriend. That chick you've been playing voyeur with and peeping Tom for the last 5 years, that's not girlfriend, Eric. And the people who told you what was going to happen, you get arrested again. So, stop. But understand, if there's a female who knows Eric, and I'm talking about his sisters, his cousins, his mother, he may have... he may have... inappropriate designs. Or at least it's illegal in 47 states. Eric, the state that you're in, it's not legal for what you're thinking about with them. So, you might want to try West Virginia or Arkansas. But, I'll watch out. Because he might not even say hello. Caller from the 773, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, good evening. My name is Earl, calling from Chicago.
What's on your mind, brother?
I've been listening to this exchange with the last brother and Mona. I have a couple questions. I was reading some information on Facebook.
Okay, brother. I don't know who's playing the flute, the violin behind you, or whatever the hell that is, but can you go to a different room or turn off Sesame Street or whatever that is going back there?
Okay, you're right.
Because it sounds like romper room or something, like they're throwing blocks or something.
Yeah, that's my daughter, man. She on her little computer.
Oh, I'm about to say that. I didn't know you were calling us from the daycare. I can arrange to just check back in 20 minutes.
No, brother. Mona, I have a question for Mona. I was reading some posts that you and one of the brothers on Facebook was actually going at each other, Johnny Ace. And I was wondering what happened in that Johnny Ace called you out and called you a lonely woman and all these different things. And what, I mean, I need to understand, because I follow Johnny, and me and him do a lot of interaction on Facebook about different things. And now I see that you've been on this show for the last few weeks. And I know Brother Jason and Brother Johnny work together. So I'm not clear on what's really going on here.
Okay. She's not going to answer that. You can send her a private message if you want to. I don't talk about other people on my broadcast. There was a little interesting-looking female who tried this a few weeks ago. My answer is still the same. If you want to know about that, send her a message on Facebook, and if she feels like answering it, she can. On this broadcast, no. What was your question?
And my other question was, I thought that this was about intelligent conversation. For the last few weeks or so, we've been dealing with females. That one of the brothers have been saying that you have been defending these females, and I'm starting to wonder why.
Okay,
and
you
I've
sound
never
like
heard
Eric.
You, do this before.
You sound like Eric.
No, this is Earl.
The
from
guy
Chicago.
From Phoenix just got off the phone, very, very sexually frustrated. You sound just
no.
like him. I was going to say that at
Not
first,
me.
But you know, y'all, this sounds like Eric on the phone. But you sound extremely hostile and extremely frustrated. And if that's what doing a broadcast with a couple of high yellow females brings out in black males, it's not such a good thing. Do you have a not, just out of curiosity, because I'll answer your question since you asked it, but just out of curiosity, do you have a non-hostile question where these women are concerned, or do you think that this is just your opportunity to get your female hate issues out or whatever?
No. This has nothing to do with hating females, but we supposed
Sounds
to be
like it to me.
Building businesses, opening business, but all we've been discussing for the last few weeks is how to defend females when
okay.
when
what are we talking?
Okay,
you just sat here and lied on my broadcast, and I'm not gonna let you do that, buddy. With your daughter back there playing and stuff, and you're gonna tell us about what we're doing. It sounds like you have a chaotic situation happening where you are, and you're projecting onto other people. What did we talk about last night?
Julius Randle.
Okay, no, I'm asking this fella on the phone here. What
I'm sorry.
About, What did we talk about last night, dude? Since you said this is all we've been talking about for the last weeks. I've done enough for a broadcast, and people can see the list on YouTube. Tell me right now, what did we talk about last night?
Unfortunately, I couldn't hear the show last night.
Okay, unfortunately, you couldn't hear the show last night, so you don't know what the hell you're talking about, but it didn't prevent you from opening your pie hole. What did we talk about Sunday?
For the last few weeks, I have been witnessing...
Okay, what did we talk about 48 hours ago?
Brother Jason,
I broadcast yesterday, and I did one Sunday.
You're not giving me an opportunity to...
Okay, tell me the topic Sunday.
You're not answering the questions of the brother.
I am
asking
your
questions.
You said that we haven't talked about anything of females the past couple weeks. Yesterday, you said that I didn't even listen, but I want to tell you what we talked about yesterday so you don't know what you're talking about. What did we talk about the day before yesterday? I did a broadcast Sunday. What did we talk about? Tell us.
What is Mona and Melissa doing on the show today? What's the purpose
okay,
of this?
If you're not going to answer my question, you're going to... What
but
do we
you,
talk
but
about
you haven't
Sunday?
Answered my question.
Yes, I did. I'm answering it right now because you lied and said that we were talking about them for the last few weeks. That's a lie, and you haven't even listened to the broadcast. Otherwise, you would just be telling us what we talked about Sunday instead of sitting here talking about, can you answer this? What did we talk... You just admitted you didn't listen yesterday. So what did we talk about the day before
No, I
today?
Did. I did. I've been a very
okay,
busy
so,
man.
So who the hell are you to tell us what we've been broadcasting about when you just admitted that you just lied?
I didn't lie. I just been busy.
What did we talk about Saturday? What did we talk about Saturday?
Females on the show rambling on about nothing, about women issues,
okay.
And I don't want
what
to hear
that.
What
did we talk about Saturday?
Most of the shows is about building. Most of the shows
okay.
is about defeating white
Saturday,
supremacy.
What did we talk about, sir? Last bye.
Why is Mona and Melissa on the show?
Okay, it sounds like you're having a fit. You have not listened to this broadcast. You haven't tuned into anything. You've got serious mommy and woman hate issues. And you want to sit here and project now. And you just admitted, I don't even listen to the podcast. I haven't listened for the past weeks. But let me say what you've been talking about for the last few weeks. I can't tell you what you talked about in the last 3 days.
Right, I haven't listened in the last couple of
okay,
days.
Okay, and here's
but
the point.
For the last
here's
time
the point.
I was on,
I got
I've been
the question for you, brother. Are you alone right now?
No, sir.
Okay, who are you with?
I'm with my children.
And who else?
That's it right now.
And that's the way you've been acting, that's the reason why. Get off my phone. If you all want to know why he's home alone tonight, if you want to know why it is that he's by himself tonight, now you can know why. If you want to know why it is that he doesn't have a friend to talk to, do you see how much hate and venom he's seething with? You've been talking about these women for the last few weeks. Well, that's a lie. You've been talking about the last few weeks. Okay. Tell me what I've been broadcasting now for the last 3 days. What did I talk about yesterday since you've been listening for the last few weeks? I didn't listen yesterday. What about Sunday? I didn't listen in either. What about Saturday? Well, I was out of town. Home alone? Yes. Do you see your woman hate issues? I think it's woman hate. Let me tell you something, fella. If you want to know why she left you with the kids, replay this phone call that you just made me. That's the reason that that woman and no other woman is really interested in having anything to do with you. That's why. That's why it's a Tuesday night, and I got two females on my phone, and you're sitting there with the little kids watching SpongeBob by yourself. Not beating up on you. I'm just reciting the mathematical and anatomical facts. Not beating up on you. Damn sure you're not bragging. I'm just pointing out a fact. Take a look at your behavior, buddy, and you can see why that is. Brothers up there, if you want to know why we lack the respect of our women, listen to the last two calls that just came in, back to back. Assuming that they're different people, because they both like Eric to me, but assuming that they're even different people, did you hear them? That's black manhood today. That's black malehood today. And wondering why they get no respect from anyone. That was black malehood on the phone. These women, why you talk to these women so much? When was the last time I talked about women? I'm not sure, but I feel, and since they're here and they won't date me, let me tell you how much I hate women. Whoa, dude. Don't have a damn schizoembolism here. I thought you were going to do pretty good at first. At first, pretty good. Mona, I heard that you and Johnny had an argument, and I wanted to know why y'all had an argument. She's not going to talk about Johnny. Okay, Mona, can you tell me why I talk to you so much? Dude, you got a serious Mona fixation. You just met the damn woman, but you... Mona, and I'm going to ask you again, Mona, why is this here? It's like Eric and Phoenix. And Mona, for another thing here, Mona, let me tell you, Mona, you sound like a hood rat. You sound like a hood rat, Mona. You sound like Mama. I hate you, Mona. I hate you. Whoa. Back up, Cliff. Dude, you just called for the first time tonight. You don't know this woman. You said she's three, didn't you? Well, I didn't say it. She said it, but okay. She's just as old as my mama. I hate you, Mama. I hate you, Mama. Whoa. Norman Bates, get back in the closet, man. Jeez. And you all wonder why black males lead on the 6 o'clock news. I'm not beating up on brothers tonight. I am one. Dude, y'all just demonstrated to the whole damn world why we lead on the 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock news. They need to just have a segment. Crazy niggas about their women.
Sorry.
Or like, we can have the...
I'm sorry.
We can have the 6 o'clock news, and then we can have like the 6:30 news. You know, just 6 o'clock, 6:30. And then from 6:30 to like 6:45 or 7 o'clock, we can just... And here's another crazy nigga with his girlfriend. I hate her. And I hate all them. What was her name, Tiffany? How long did you know Tiffany? 30 minutes.
How can you hate this woman in 30 minutes?
I told her to come home with me. Don't you live with mama? It's home. Okay, well, all right. Let's go with that one. I told her to get in my car.
Well, what was the problem?
I opened the trunk, she wouldn't get in it. Dude, seriously? She could have got the back seat? No.
This is why I mute my mic, because you...
I'm not even cracking a smile over here. You all know I don't do the laughing thing. This is not the ha-ha-ha giggle show. I'm just saying this is real life. This is real life now. These are grown men calling up here. They heard that there were two women on the line. And, I mean, seriously, they are seriously saying to themselves before they call in. I mean, they're sitting there ass naked with a bowl full of mayonnaise and Jell-O waiting on the line to talk to Mona and Melissa. Little boy was like right in front of his TV. I don't believe there were any children there. The way I think he was just sitting there with, you know, some of them that baby thing, whatever the hell they call that little baby carousel to hang over the baby's crib that spins around with a little thing hanging from it. I think he was just sitting there tapping it with his toe, you know, just ding 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 ding. Then the phone came on, ding ding, yeah, my own line, ding. Dude, we live your second childhood somewhere else. This is crazy to me. As a black male, this is embarrassing. It's humiliating. Men are not supposed to get upset and obsessive over women they don't know. It's one thing to say that you disagree with the woman that you don't know. I disagree with Sarah Palin. Y'all have never heard me up here and say, you old Alaskan hood rat. Wait a minute. I don't know a woman like that. She signed a phone calling people nigga. I go, I'm not cool on that neither. Sitting up here, another thing, cutting out newspaper articles and clippings and saving bookmarks to my internet. Sarah Palin, you old heifer. Man, really? You don't know this woman like that? Good grief. This is shameful. That's right. Eric is back in the chat room again. Do you know how many IP addresses that guy's going to run through before this broadcast is over? And another thing, Mona, you always... Wait a minute. You just met this woman tonight. Really? She's really worth all this headache over? Yes. Why? She used to beat me with a six. Dude, you're from Arizona. She's from Compton. She doesn't know you. She used to lock me in a closet. Eric, that was your mom. I know who that was. Caller, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, we got the MIA on the line. I'm just going to skip that one. I'm not even going to ask. Caller from the 313, you're live with the Black Channel. Give them an opportunity to state their mommy issues or whatever the case might be. Okay, caller from 313. Last try, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello.
But yes, sir. Am I interrupting the maize and jello?
No, sir. No, sir. This is Dindu from Detroit.
Okay. I don't know what's going on. Okay, brother. I don't know what's going on. I'm about to have Tariq moment on here. Did I wake you up or something? I mean, can you get closer to your phone? Because I don't know who's on my line. I'm not hearing what you're saying. Is everything all right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you hear me now?
I'm just saying, because sometimes, like Eric and the last dude who called in, I know sometimes people get naked and want to gel themselves up before they call in. It's not really necessary to get on the phone, but it makes them feel better. So if I'm interrupting, let me know, and I'll try you in 13 minutes.
I feel you. But it seems like I said last night or the night before last, broadcast is having technical difficulties because I didn't press one, but it seems to.
So you're just wanting to wait. You just want this on the line.
Well, until I hear something that I would like to respond to, absolutely.
Okay. We'll go ahead and just put you back on hold here. Blog Talk strikes again. Ladies, I hope I'm not interrupting dudes while they doing nothing over there. I mean, working the verse, Bella, I understand, but I say hello and they're sitting over there. Hold on. I bought his night to an early end. Okay, caller from 323. That's out in your neck of the woods, Mona. You're on live the blackchannel.net radio. Okay, caller from 323 is just sitting over there breathing into his phone. Caller from 323-407, you're on live with the Black Channel. Or did we interrupt him while he was out there doing something? I want to check the damn Jell-O people and see if they had a spike in sales this week. If they have, that explains a lot. They heard I got women on the line, and they... I'm just calling in. Maybe he'll let me hear him for a minute. No, they're not going to talk to you unless you ask a question, a simple question. Maybe he'll let them talk to me before he say something. No. Can I talk to Mona? No. Can I talk to Melissa? No. Can I get some pictures of him? Yes, $25. How about $10? Get this Negro on my phone. Caller from 954, you're on live Black Channel.
What's going on?
The Obama phones are in full effect. I didn't know he gave
out. Hello,
so
what's going on?
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is D. I'm calling out of Fort Lauderdale.
D out of Fort Lauderdale. Wow, is this D from Florida?
Yeah, D. You got jokes, man.
No, I'm talking about from like 5 years ago.
Nah, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you were one of my day one callers from 4 or 5 years ago. So had Garyite call in, we had Ty call in, so I was like, hell, D is here, man. We're putting the band back together.
Hey, this right here is for Melissa. I kind of noticed like how you were talking about how, you know, women kind of get upset about her hair and some of her video posts and stuff. Do you ever think that perhaps it just may have something to do with just the fact of the matter is that it is your last name being Ortiz and that you're more so mixed than black? But now I understand, you know, how, you know, a lot of us, we do claim ourselves as being of a culture or of a race, which is, you know, our own preference. You know, like, for example, I was born in the States, but I am Jamaican by descent. I really don't understand too much of the black American culture that well because, you know, my family, you know, I'm around mostly people who are Jamaican. But if you put me in front of some people who are Jamaican, and because of the way I speak and how I pronounce words, they kind of have the impression that I'm not Jamaican. Do you kind of get what I mean? Hello?
Not necessarily. Well, a manner of speaking and looking a certain way, two different things. So that's where I can understand that you would think you weren't Jamaican. But my problem with women is they don't even – I'm not saying anything that another black woman hasn't already said. So that's why the problem is just features. They can't bunk the argument to go after features. That's my perspective.
Okay, well, if it's the features, I can kind of understand that. It does kind of throw people off, you know. You are pretty, but it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I can understand how some people would get offended. You know, a woman would get offended. Now, for guys, you know, we're usually a different type of creature. But I can understand from a woman's standpoint, you know, why they would get upset. You know, but it is what it is. And I will tell you, you know, keep doing what you're doing. But just keep
what
in mind,
you know,
the type of audience that you're presenting yourself. Huh?
What do you understand? What is so understandable about the women getting upset?
Because that's just something women do. That's just something people do. And sometimes it has a lot to do with cultures and everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's just that the fact of the matter is that your last name is Ortiz. You do look Hispanic, so it is what it is. I mean, there's nothing to get offended by, but, you know, if you're accustomed to the black culture, then that's just what it is. You know, if you want to speak on black topics, you can. But at the same time, you can't get too offended when someone says something to you about she's not that black. Look at her hair. Look at her face. She's not really black. You kind of get
what
I'm saying?
That's not the offensive part, though. That's not the offensive part. I don't care what people think of me because I'm secure in what I am. The offensive part is when people go overboard. That's what I don't understand. It's one thing to say you're not black. Don't talk about that issue. Do you understand people have threatened me? People have said, well, I don't care if she runs into a black woman, and they beat her to a pulp.
Really? They actually say that online?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They Photoshop conversations that they make a whole fake Facebook about me, and they fabricate this conversation between me and some white man I've never seen in my life.
I saw that one.
Negatively. And see, this is what's not understandable.
Yeah.
Look here. I understand that people are at home, but you gotta wash the dishes all the time.
Say what now?
Okay. If you gotta wash your dishes some other time, brother, for real. Because that water is a beast back there.
I'm walking through. But anyways, I just wanted to say that to you.
Cars or whatever, I'm not sure. But I did have a question here for you because you said something. And what you said was that I can understand, you know, her being more mixed than black. Explain to me what makes a person more mixed than black. Okay, I guess D got ducted or fired, one or the other. It all dropped. So either that or he wasn't really sure what to say. Moose is in the chat room. He said, bull bath. I don't know, Moose. I said dishes, but after the night that we've had here, I don't know. I'm not going to assume anything. Caller from the 951, you're on Live with the Black Channel.
Just listening.
Okay, well, see, he was spry there. What do you say? You ain't going to call me out. Hey, I got caught up in the system. I'm just listening. For everybody out there, if you can try, just try press. If you're sitting on the line and you don't want to talk to me, and why wouldn't you want to talk to me? But if you're sitting on the line and you don't want to talk to us, you want to get out of the host queue, technically speaking, you should press the number one again, and it should take you out of it. At least you can try that and see if it doesn't, you know, if I'm paying all this money for nothing. Okay, caller from the 786, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Oh, Black First.
Black First, brother, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Lonnie from Miami.
Lonnie from Miami. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to about the two callers that called in that saying something negative about Mona and Melissa. It's a prudent issue with the color of skin in our community, and people take out the time to actually attack women for talking about it, and they're attacking those two women because they're lighter-skinned women. So if you want to attack those two women, you're really attacking the wrong ones. Attack the people who have the hate for skin tone in our community, not the people who want to bring everybody of different skin tones together, because that's the problem. Not light-skinned people, not light-skinned women. These are black women. They're not black women. And they don't deserve to be attacked because you can't get one or you're not one. Because regardless of the shade of a woman, of a black woman specifically, they're beautiful. So don't go and attack people who are trying to fix the community, who are actually talking about things in our community that are important to talk about.
Well, it's because they're powerful stuff. I mean, you heard those guys. Those guys, do either one of those guys sound like a business owner to you? Hell, they don't even sound like a manager at Wendy's. You know, I mean, those two guys sounded like the dude with the headphones and the pants sagging hanging out the window at Carl's Jr. That's what it sounds like. So we're not talking about major tiers in wealth. We're not talking about the brightest bulbs in the pack. And when you are in the situation that they are in, this is how weak-minded they are. I mean, seriously, that sounded like, you know, Cooter over there changing the tires on your car, but somebody gave them an Obama phone and internet access. And so here we go talking about that. This is what black male has become today. This is what it's reduced to, that they are powerless against white supremacy. They want to talk about white supremacy, but they want to talk about these two women. Why? Because these guys are getting their asses kicked by white supremacy every day. Every day. But they're powerless. I mean, come on. Eric, please, he's in Phoenix. The only thing he can do for white supremacy is shine the tires on their car. That's all he can do. He has no power. He has no influence. Nobody's asking him for his opinion. He's calling us to get ours. Nobody wants his. I mean, these are the kinds of guys who have absolutely no problem kicking their girlfriend's ass. And the internet lets us take a peek into their dark, twisted world for a few moments. They're on the wrong broadcast. They need to call somebody else. They like that kind of stuff. We don't do that here. And when I say that when we need to talk about this in a constructive way, they're like, no, I'm powerless. No. I want to let them know that I'm weak and powerless, and maybe I can exercise authority over them. And the sad part is that even if they did, who gives a damn? Who cares if you could exercise any type of power or authority over them? It's going to change what? It's going to change what? You have the same jackass trying to break back into my chat room now for two straight hours, Lonnie. Two straight hours. Does
Those
that sound to you
guys.
Like somebody who's threatening white supremacy? Does he sound to you like somebody that white supremacy is trembling in mortal fear of? Hell no. Please. The only people scared of him is the receptionist standing at the door of the Golden Corral, hoping he's not there to beg for another buffet. He doesn't worry anybody. He doesn't have any power. I'm here from Phoenix. I'm dumb from Detroit. Phoenix and Detroit, two places where black men get their asses rocked every single day. black men have no power in Phoenix, none. And they have even less in Detroit, even though you're 80% of the population. They've got no power. Talking greasy and snarly and snarky to Mona and Melissa is the closest to power that either one of those two Sambos is ever going to come. Ever. Ever, ever. That's what's disgusting about it. Respect something that you earn, and they're not interested in earning it.
That's correct. Those are the same two guys that will, what they're going to do is they're going to go to dark-skinned women and say, look, I stood up to you for you against two light-skinned women. And then when it becomes popular to stand up to light-skinned women against dark-skinned women, he'll do the same. You can have a dark-skinned woman on, and he'll do the same thing to her, and then he'll go to a light-skinned woman, and that's it. He'll, I stood up for you. Give me some panties. And that's all they do. That's why we're so messed up, because we're so busy worrying about having sex with somebody, having sex with a woman. Maybe if you sit down and you listen to what she has to say and her perspective, maybe you'll be more informed and we can get more ahead. Instead of men being worried about who am I going to have sex with next? Oh, I can't have sex with her? Now I'm mad at her. Now let me talk about her. That's what women do. Not men. Men aren't supposed to be stalking women on Facebook and online and making up conversations and pictures. Look, I see her. She said something. She said something racist about Trayvon Martin. Be a man. Ask a question. Be logical. They want to call somebody names. I've had exchanges with women who don't agree with me. I don't call them names. I ask why. Okay, why did you think that? I sat back before and said, okay, Melissa, eventually she'll say something that she'll address this eventually. Whenever she does, that's her. That's what she wants to do, let her address her issues. No, you get all type of B's and H's and everything at women. You get all type of, who's this woman posting up the video about the unmentioned radio broadcaster that she never posts up in this group? And it's like, so what? Who cares? Who cares if she joined the group just to post that? You can also listen to what she has to say. What is she talking about? Is she talking about something constructive? No, she's talking about something that I don't want to talk about because I'm profiting in panties over here with dark-skinned women because she's light-skinned. So I'm just going to show hate on her because she's light-skinned so I can get some panties. The only profit that we have as black men right now today is panties. Mediocre panties at that, because we don't want to go to the women who actually can think and can speak and be constructive, because we're too busy only want to talk about panties, and that's it. That's we won't talk about building a business for ourselves. We won't talk about doing something in our community. The first thing we can talk about is, hey, how you know how big I am, you know how good I am in bed, and that's it. And that's the thing that they can't respect with Mona and Melissa, is that you have to come to a table with more than I'm good in bed. And they hate that, and they don't want women to be more than Jace. I want to hear what you, how good you are in bed, and I can get in bed with you. What else? What are your other interests? How do you care about my community? That guy doesn't care about that. He just wants to get some panties, and what he sees is two women who are talking about something that's going to elevate the conscience of black women to get out of this. They're going to take away his ammunition to get easy panties, and they're mad at that because they're doing that. I say do it. The last place that we should be as black people is in bed. That's our major problem, being in bed with each other. All we want to do is jump in the bed with somebody. We should be the last people. Our sex drive is black men and black women should be low right now. It should be the last thing we want to do, the very last thing that we want to do. But they can't do that. They can't get away from that. All they see is easy panties. Talk to them about anything else? No, because they're going to just see Mona and Melissa as, can I have sex with them? No, then they're the enemy, just because they don't want to have sex. How are they the enemy? They're telling you, come on, let's do something for our community so we can be better as a people. Not, let's have sex with each other and produce more bastard babies and then not raise them. So we can keep on having more generations of
failures. We shouldn't even be having sex right now. We have too many issues to be having sex and going to the easy answers. We should be listening to Mona and Melissa when they talk about things like, I had problems as a light-skinned woman, and here are they. And here are why we shouldn't have those problems, because we shouldn't have those problems. We've been having this thing about light skin and dark skin for vastly too long. I don't want to listen to this person because they're light skin. I don't want to listen to this person because they're dark skin. Don't date that person because they're too dark. Don't date that person because they're too light. Light skins are better. Dark skins are better. We are all black people. We should all be better, but we're not better right now. We're worse. And we're worse because we keep trying to isolate little portions of ourselves that are better. And until we stop doing that, we're not going to be better people. And what we need to do is shut up, listen to somebody, because that person just might have what we need to get ahead. And these two women have something that we need to get ahead. And I'll be a man enough to know that I need to listen to these two women, because I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers, but those extra answers that we need, they have them. So we need to listen to them because they can get us ahead. And what they're saying is, get out of the bedroom. Stop it with the hate of each other. And that's what we need to do. First, we need to stop the hate. You said on Mona's show that our problems as black people stem from economics. It goes even deeper than that. Our problems as black people stem from us hating ourselves. It stems from dark-skinned women hating themselves, so they put it on light-skinned women. They put it on men who are with light-skinned women. Then they teach their kids to hate light-skinned, dark-skinned, and everything. And that's a big problem, because this hate stems it, so we're all separated. So we can't unite to actually build a community. We have neighborhoods, not a community. The community is a dream at this point, because we broke it up. And because we hate each other so much, we can't build an economy. And it's so easy to go and get panties when all you have to do is hate the person that the panties hate. You don't even know the person, but you want to hate them. And that's a problem. You don't even know Mona. Have any of them listened to her broadcast? I have. I went through the archives and listened to four broadcasts. I think it was three or four. I've listened to all of Melissa's videos, because that's how I get information. Don't tell me that they're saying something negative about black people. Let me go listen to it. I listened to it, and I got information from it. I might not agree with everything that everybody says, but I get information from it. And I don't look at saying, I'm tired of this. We just hate each other, so we're going to just put down each other. We're going to put down Mona because she's light-skinned, so she automatically thinks that she's just prettier than everybody else. How do you know that? You don't know Mona. And if you think that, how about you ask her? And if she said that she doesn't, take it out of her word. Maya Angelou said when a person tells you about who they are, believe them. Ask her what she thinks. Ask Melissa what she thinks. Melissa said that she recognizes herself as a black woman. That's good enough for me. She said it. She openly said, I recognize myself as a black woman. In the story, we could ride together. We cannot ride to bed together. We could ride to building up this black community together. Because in bed, what do I need you in bed for? 30 minutes of what? An hour of what? A night of sex for what? What does that accomplish me? What do I have to get up in the morning and do then? But we can build something together because you recognize yourself as a black woman. So I can utilize your information. I can utilize your drive to build a community. And that's what these two women represent. They represent building our community and not hopping into bed, because that's all they want to do. All they want is somebody to, let's hop into bed. If you ask somebody on that was talking about just going, getting in bed, they'll be all on it. They'll be so happy. Those two phone calls would have went vastly different, because all they would have wanted to do was hop in the bed. Let's just have sex. That solves all of our problems. It solves all of your problems for, what, an hour, and it creates more problems. So who are we listening to? Let's talk about that.
In case, and I've explained this before. forward to people and to all the light-skinned black females out there who have a quandary about this. It's time for me to explain to you exactly what Lonnie is referring to, because as men, we understand it. And as an older woman, grown-ups probably understand it. But let me explain to you all exactly what's happening here. As light-skinned black females, they know that you have a stigma attached to you. And they know that there is a color complex. And what they are hoping, what they're hoping for to happen, is that they will be able to look up and you'll be there, and that it'll get easier for them to take advantage of that color complex. That's what they're hoping, is that this will make it easier to take advantage of that color complex. And if you make it easier for us to do that, then I can get you into bed. Now, unfortunately, a lot of these males are very unscrupulous in the manner in which they attempt to facilitate that color complex. If I can make you feel bad about yourself, because they know that a lot of mixed, biracial, light-skinned black women are very eager, and I'll use the word desperate, to be accepted. And if I make it seem like I don't accept you, then you will just do anything. And you will just say anything to get me to accept you. And it all really does come back down to me psychologically batter you and beat you and bludgeon you and bust you out of the head with a baseball bat to get you to bed. Let me say whatever I have to and make me beat you down psychologically to make it easier for me to get some draws for you. And I'm telling you, as a guy, I've seen it. And Lonnie has seen it. And other black men who are listening right now, you've seen it. You've seen how guys will sit up here and do that. I've been seeing it all the time. That they are willing to psychologically assault some woman as a means to getting her into bed. And if you are mentally and emotionally weak, it works. And that's the reason why these guys do that. That's the reason why guys like Eric act like that. Because unfortunately, they do it because unfortunately it does work. It actually does work on a large number of women. It actually does work to just keep psychologically beating them until they finally do just give in. I'll let you have the last word, honey.
Okay, black first, and we need to get rid of this whole skin tone of black people, who's better, we're fighting each other. We need to stop fighting each other. Black first, brother and sisters.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here. Mona, do you understand the point that I was making about that a lot of these guys use that as a tool to psychologically batter you into sexual submission?
Yes, me, Jason. And one thing that I want to say about that is this. I don't suffer from low self-esteem. I do what I do because I love my people. I don't care if you like me and if you don't like me, but you will respect me. If you don't like what I'm doing, you don't have to follow me. Secure in who I am. I know what I'm out here trying to do. And I do. When you can call somebody out the name and try to degrade them, you're trying to stop me from doing what I'm destined to do. But you can't. And I'm going to continue to do what I do and be who I am. And I have a problem with you liking me or disliking me. Long as you keep it consistent, I can respect for that. Facebook saying, who could I get in with? Who could I suck on? Who want to take me out on a date? I don't do that. Ooh, you fine. I'm 53 years old. I'm trying to get my people to be the greatest people that I know can be. And I'm very genuine in it. I've been that way since I've been here. I've never deterred from. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to help rise your people up. So if you understand somebody degrading somebody or belittling somebody or trying to have them suffer from low self-esteem, you are contributing to the problem. I did not like when you said I could understand that because that's what women do. So when people do negative things, you just give them a pass. And that's our problem.
Well, he's just saying,
men can't talk about
he's just saying
women.
What he expects from black women. That, oh, well, that's just black women. That's just black women. That's just they do. Acting a fool and ignorant, I've accepted that this is just black female culture. As
terrible.
Opposed to him saying, no, I do not accept that. He just sat there,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what black women do. That's what I expect from black women. That's the best we can hope for.
Exactly. And see, that's the type of person that go behind closed doors and talk about black women like a dog, but we get ridiculed for telling you straight up in your face you are wrong. We get bashed for that, for telling the truth. Bash me if I tell a lie. How do you bash somebody for telling the truth?
Mm-hmm. It's forbidden in black society today. Nobody wants the truth. That's why we want religion. That's why we want Twitter and Facebook, so we can pass around misconceptions, superstitions, and lies. Black people do not want the truth today. They're against it. I've sat here and had to spend a whole weekend refuting 3 months of some of the most egregious, outrageous, ridiculous fairy tales, lies on me and Melissa that could have been debunked in a few minutes if the people listening had not been so psychologically, intellectually lazy that they didn't even check it. And then when truth was revealed, everybody wants to run like roaches and say, I didn't believe that. And I just showed them screenshots. Yeah, I made this video and put you in it to show, yeah, you were on board. And now everybody wants to run. But you were sitting there eating it up and gobbling it up and swinging around and passing it around like syphilis, housing project. And you had no problem doing that. We as black people, we are anathema to the truth today. We don't want the truth. We want everything to be dumbed down and passed down and slung down. We don't want anything to be learned. We don't want anything to be truth. We just want what we want, whether it's true or not. We don't care. We just want what we want, whether it's accurate, whether it's true, whether it's a load of hogwash. We don't care. We really don't. We really don't. And as a man, as a black male, to see this situation where this is the pinnacle of what black men aspire to, that they put sex above everything else to the point that they're not even trying to build anything. That's how these fellows are caught up with baby mamas and STDs, every damn thing else. There's nothing else along with it. No. No, they ought to be ashamed of it. They're not. But they should be. I'm going to open up another phone line here. Caller from the 443. You're on live with the blackchannel.net radio. Caller from 443. You're on live with the blackchannel.net. Okay, let me check and see again because it said I opened their line. Maybe I did. Caller from 443, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, that's kind of weird. Melissa, were you going to say something?
Yes, if you don't mind, I'd like to interject on what you were saying earlier. Jason, he's not lying. We have conversations about intentions of men, and I have trouble grasping that. In my mind, it is so stupid and petty and primal as sex. And I'm like, Jason, that really can't be it. There really is no other reason, though. There is no other logical rationale for this male behavior. And what men don't realize, when you're constantly pressing sex, it's creepy. Look at me and my situation. They have this preconceived notion. I get it. But even when I always like to conduct myself on the internet like my dad's watching me. when I put something somewhere, I want to behave, and I treat it like it's my dad, or if my daughter read that, would she be embarrassed of me, or would he be ashamed of me? Men expect me to behave a certain way, and they come at me a certain way, and when I ignore, all hell breaks loose. And it's like, you know, and I asked Jason, I don't understand this, because I've never experienced this before, never exposed myself to so many people. And there really is no other logical reason I came up with. And I'm just getting ready to concede that this is psychological warfare against women. No? Oh, you want, let me play on whatever underlying psychological impediment that I think you have and just beat the crap out of you. Eventually, if I beat you down long enough, you'll pay attention to me. And it's a sad reality.
Can I say something?
Yes, my lord.
I really feel what you just said, Lisa, because here's the thing. It is said that a black woman cannot speak on black issues referring to a black man. And I'm here to tell you that I can speak on those issues for what I experienced from what you just heard from those irate callers. I can speak about men because that's not the type of man that I want my son to aspire to be like. So that another black woman will be talking about the same men that I'm talking about when they're in reference to my son. So because I am a black woman, I love my black community. I want them to rise. I do think that I am able to speak about black men, black issues, black character, just like I believe that they should be able to talk about black women. Because you guys don't know what we go through. Just like she said, it's all fine and dandy when hey, how you doing? Yes, blah, blah, blah. When they can't hear it, then we're the lowest, like loneliest, never had a man, can't get a man, can't keep a man. That's why I ain't never going to have nobody. And you're like, wow.
Yep.
What the hell just happened here?
Yep.
So you never respect me as a woman in the first place. And because I wasn't slow enough to let you continue that, now everything but the child of God. So I really understand.
Talk you into bed, he'll batter you into it.
Exactly. And have his honest friends join the bandwagon. The most despicable, unclean, low-like the woman on this earth. And all you said was hi to me, can I get it? And when I said no, I have to be eliminated. I am a coon, a cog, a coward, a traitor, everything. And you're like, wow, really?
You not answer a private message.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, why you ain't answer to me? I'm like, really?
Yeah, by the way, me and Melissa laugh about that kind of thing all the time, although sometimes not very funny. And I warned her that when she started making videos and started, you know, clinging to my broadcast, I said, now understand, things are going to be different for you. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who feel that because they can hear your voice, or worse, they can call a number and talk to you, that somehow that means you two are connected or you know each other. And at least 2-3 times a day, she's got some dude in her inbox, hello, queen, hello, priestess, why haven't you responded to my message? I mean, dude, she doesn't know you. Why should you be expecting her to, quote, respond to anything? She doesn't know you like that. And everybody, let me get to know you. She's got 1,500 Facebook friends and 5,000 Twitter followers. What makes you think that she's at a lack of getting to know people? What makes you think she had a lack for that? If she didn't approach you, what makes you think she's interested? But this is what black males do today, because we're not building anything. We're not building anything. We're not passing anything on. You got the Cubans dominating things in Florida, and you got the Mexicans dominating things in California. You're in Florida, Melissa Mona. You're in California. Black men ain't running a damn thing nowhere. The only thing we're running is our mouths and trying to run for some jobs, and that's it. But we're not running anything. And that's why sex is it. If we don't have any sex, we haven't validated our existence. After all, what else are we doing?
The flip side of that is, oh, you won't talk to me, you give me any play. Next thing I know, they're on Facebook calling me the biggest slut since Nessa Del Rio.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm not sleeping with anybody. I'm not talking to anybody. And now you're upset and now I'm named? This is I've never seen such psychosis in my life.
And you know what? You have to allow a certain amount of that because you are, you know, and I've been, you know, talking since around 2012. But ever since that, I have, you know, pushed like on the Jason Black post. It's like magnified 10 times. Questioning. Why you this? How you do that? How can you do this? What do you do? What? Sister, I never do say anything like this. Blah, blah, blah. Sister, why are you doing it? What? I've never even talked to you.
And truth be told, Mona, people don't realize we're just talking. We don't owe anybody anything. I don't have to answer your personal questions. I don't have to give you my opinion on anything. I get on YouTube, I get on this, and I talk and I tell my stories and how I see things. I don't owe anybody a damn thing. Y'all don't pay me.
As a black man who's had to compete against every other ethnic group in America for power, wealth, and resources, I know there's a difference. 60 Minutes did a piece a few years ago, and you all can go look it up if you want to. It was an investment banker. He was an investment banker, and they caught up with him at this auction. It was a car auction. They were auctioning off a brand new Bugatti Veyron. Now, for those of you who don't know the Veyron, right now it's kind of a foot race between the Veyron and McLaren, but the Veyron is still technically gets pay more money for it. Right now, the going cost for Bugatti Veyron is between $2 and $2.5 million. And they auction it off because, I mean, believe it or not, the room was full of people. There was like 20, 30 people there. And he was just one of them. Auctioning off this car for a couple of $1 million, the guy's got three houses around the United States that each house has a dual level garage / showroom. You know, like Tony Stark had in the Iron Man movies, Robert Downey Jr. in the Iron Man movies. Well, that's what he has at all three of his houses, only it's dual level. There's a lower level and there's an upper level in each house where he keeps his cars. Got like a couple dozen of them. A multi-million-dollar car collection. Spread across three houses, six floors in all, in three states. This is a man who has a fetish for power. That man thinks about power and wealth the way that the average black man thinks about sex. My question to you is, which one of them's getting more out of it? Because with wealth and the power, sex is a given. Black men are out here fighting each other over sex and got no, as Dr. John Henry Clark said, got no power, black or otherwise. Screaming black power and you got no power, black or otherwise. And that's the part that is despicable to me as a black male. They are willing to stalk women online, but they have yet to sit up there and get angry. I don't have anybody getting angry or getting mad with me over their lack of wealth. That I'm not seeing. That doesn't happen. Nobody is angry with me over their lack of power and their lack of wealth. That's the part that upsets me. That's the part that upsets me. We're going to go ahead and see if we can take another caller here, if they're not playing around. Caller from the 951. We're going to see if we got picking up your line here, because doing something a little bit funny. You know, I'm practically full up on calls right now. But 951, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, something weird is going on Blog Talk. What's happening is what it's doing is it's like it's picking up their line, and then it just closes them again. See if I can try to reload it. That's why I didn't drop 443, because it's doing something weird. I clicked button for it, and it picks up their lines, and then it just puts them back down again. So it doesn't drop their calls, but it just puts them up and then puts them back down. I'm going to see if we can take a look at that, but it's showing that they're still supposed to be on here. Let's try again. Caller from 951. I'm going to go ahead and open up your line for you here again. You should be on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 951732, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, I'm not really sure what's going on there, because what's happening is it's picking them up, it's saying that the line is live, and then it just puts them back down again. So, and actually, it just turned his line back on again, and I didn't even press it. So I think I'm having some sort of difficulty. This is what happens because we typically jam the boards on that. Caller from 951, are you actually there, or is it still playing with us?
I'm just listening.
Okay, he's just listening. Well, he said something. All right, I'll just put him back over there. Caller from 256, we'll try you instead. Go ahead and open up your line. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, because I know I'm okay, because Melissa and Mona are still here, but like I say, because of so many lines, once it gets open, they may have trouble. I'll try somebody a little bit different here, and if that doesn't work, I may have to just close it and restart it and just see if that helps. Caller from 585 on live Black Channel. Okay, caller from 585, I thought they were there, but I'll do here. I'll just see if I can try to just close it out and restart you all again and see if that.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello. 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 Hello.
I don't appreciate it.
Okay.
Hey,
I'm waiting for it to tell me if I'm back on here yet. It's saying that I am. I'll see if I can try picking out another call here, though, and see if that helps. But what's happening is I've got so many on here, it's bogging everything down, most likely, which does occur. Caller from the 682, you're on live at the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 682 dropped as soon as I tried to come up. Caller from 585, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 585, maybe there. Then again, caller from 585, not be there. And having consternation.
Oh, I was just listening.
Wow, really? You're playing with yourself while you're listening too? Or you figured somebody else from 585 was the, you're unmuted? Never mind,
oh,
go back just listening. No, I'm not very nice when you sit there and it's 585 when you heard unmuted. At least tell me that you're not one of the people having trouble, you know. Mona, I'm just wondering right here, is messing with TBA Day, is that it? And everybody's got to take a celebrate or something like that? Or do this, because I've heard this thing, and I'm not bragging on myself right now because I don't really see it. I feel like Denzel Washington when they asked him about, do you know how sexy you are? And he said, I don't see it. I just look in the mirror. People will tell me about my voice. And they say I have this wonderful voice, and I just listen to you for hours, and I'm just hypnotized and captivated. I'm like, I don't see it. Whatever you're hearing, I'm not hearing. So I'm just wondering, are they just all over there, like, lathering themselves up something when I'm talking? Or do you all have some idea what might be going on there?
Lathering themselves up, God knows what.
I'm just saying, you all remember the Kelgon Take Me Away commercial. That right there, TBA comes on. You're on live with the Black Channel. Oh, yes. What, like the, what was that organics commercial?
Yeah,
herbal essence.
Yeah, what did he say? He said organics. That's herbal essence. Okay, I'm just saying. Is that what happened? They hear me talking or whatever? I hope not. Trust me, folks. I listen to myself all the time. It's not special. Let's try somebody else and see. If you're over there unclothed and rubbing yourself down, you might want to get off the line, because otherwise I might make it an awkward moment. I'll see if I can try someone else here. Well, not these people, because they're playing on the line. I don't want to talk to them at all. Caller from the 240, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Mona. Hello, Melissa. This is Gwendolyn, Fort Meade, Maryland.
Hello, Gwendolyn. Hi. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just guess I wanted to have a statement first, and then I had a question. As a Black woman who has dated, I guess, not too many guys, but majority lighter men, I've heard from them that Black men, or darker men, I mean brown and darker men, believe that they do not understand as lighter men how it feels to be perceived in society, and how it's more dangerous for them, you know, pertaining to the police and, you know, maybe going to court or just dealing in everyday regular life. So I've kind of heard that from dark and light men, that maybe light men do not understand how it is being a darker male. And even though dark men might kind of be in style, maybe as a sexual preference or as a cool kind of figure for sports or music and things, but I wanted to ask one or both of you, how have you guys witnessed dark women being treated throughout your life?
For me, and this is Mona, I don't like labels. I don't like stereotypes. So if you are being treated in a incorrect way, it is on you to correct that. And you're supposed to stand up for yourself, whether you be light, caramel, mocha, milk chocolate, or dark chocolate.
Right.
I don't look at that.
Let me get in here. I think she's asking a valid question, though. If you have a situation if you're having a situation where what she's asking is, have you witnessed, though, where dark-skinned black women, have you witnessed the mistreatment of them? Or have you noticed a difference in the way that skinned black women get treated?
Okay, let me say this. I do. My friends that share their personal experiences that are dark-skinned, yes, I have heard that. But their experience might be the same as the middle person or light-skinned person. I cannot speak for everybody. So everybody, whether they're light or dark, has experienced some kind of prejudice. So that's why I'm saying I don't know. Everybody experiences it in some kind of way. As being African-American women in America, we all struggle some kind of way.
Right.
I can't.
Okay.
Do you know that yours is the same as theirs, or do you think that they hit more obstacles than you do?
You know, Jason, I can't answer that question, because what might not hurt me, it hurt that dark-skinned woman. What might not hurt that dark-skinned woman might hurt me. So I can't send out a broad answer for that. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mona. And what I'm kind of getting, and I appreciate you guys for speaking with me, but what I'm kind of getting is a little bit of backtracking, and I think that's why maybe some people may feel as though it's a little dishonest. I know you don't understand how it would be to be someone else, you know, but you have, you know, lived on this earth long enough to kind of see what's going on around us. And I'm not comparing dark or light as to how people have been treated. Like I said, I've talked to a lot of light-skinned men, and they said they've been made fun of, and I've seen it. And they said they've been called light bright. I've seen it, you know. And it's very true that light people are teased, and you know, that happens all the time. But the light men, to me, they seem to still have a type of confidence. And I've spoken to them about this, you know. They still have a type of confidence that where they know it's kind of like, at least I'm not dark kind of confidence, you know, or maybe not at least I'm not dark, but I still know that I'm not, I still know being darker is perceived as being worse or less attractive or something like that. And people seem to be a little more gentle while handling lighter men and lighter women in general. So I kind of feel like I've been hearing a little bit of a one-sided kind of discussion.
I can understand what
you're
talking about,
because maybe both of you are light, you know.
Well, I can understand what you mean, Gwendolyn, and maybe I can explain a little bit better, because I understand that too. It's that we can't truthfully say, I mean, you all know that you get more male attention than your darker counterpart do. I mean, that's not just me talking. I mean, that's just, you know, an empirical fact. You get more attention than they do. You get more consideration than they do. You know, I mean, dudes are trying to take you out, and they're making sure they hold the door for you. Now, if you're Lupita, you might catch the door in the face. You know, I mean, we don't know. But I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, for a magazine shoot or whatever, I mean, you take a look, like Melissa, for example. Even though they hitting on you, when was the last time they were following behind a dark-skinned black female like that? When was the last time that Negroes went psychotic and were making YouTube videos and handing over their broadcasts or running you down because they couldn't sleep with you? I mean, when was the last time you saw them treating a dark-skinned black female in that way? So, I mean, let's just be honest about it here. You may not see them that way, but that is not the way that they're being treated as a group. I mean, you're not all receiving the same treatment, even though none of you are receiving what is a net positive. None of you are receiving a net positive response. There are those of you who are receiving a far more diluted negative response. Your negative response can be maneuvered, whereas for Hattie McDaniels, it ain't moving. It just, that's it. You're females, but they're treating you like men. When you're a dark black woman,
yes,
you don't get treated like a lady. You get treated like a man.
Yes.
Whereas
yes,
when you're a light-skinned black female, at least you get treated like a female. At least somebody,
yes,
is asking you, do you need help changing the tire? I will tell you all the damn truth. And every black man listening right now has seen something like this, and a lot of black females have. And Mona and,
yes,
Melissa, you've seen this too.
Yes.
Somebody who had a flat tire or needed her grass mowed. If she's a dark-skinned black woman, you've seen her mowing her own grass. When was the last time I saw a light-skinned black male who was mowing her own grass and it was not her choice?
Well, I'm a light-skinned black female, and I mow my own grass every week. However,
lies and nonsense, but...
However, Gwendolyn, to answer your question, yes.
I mean, now answer her question here. As a guy, was she saying yes to your question? Does she know the difference?
I want to elaborate.
Okay.
I mean it in my family because I come from dark-skinned black people. However, if there was a child that threw lighter color, those light children were preferred over the darker children. Those lighter children were treated better than the darker children. They were presented to the world like superior to the darker children. And that has created a schism in them that has followed these people until their late 40s and 50s. I see, not in my personal life, I wouldn't deal with people that treat people messed like that. I see in society, I see it all over Facebook, oh, the darkies and the dark butts, and nobody ever wanted to be with a dark-skinned woman. I look at it like, what the hell is the matter with you? That's a horrific thing to say about a person based on shade. I can't relate to it because, as you know, I haven't had that experience. But, yes, ma'am, I see it.
Yes, yes. And Melissa, that's true because I'm sorry. I just wanted real quick because, Melissa, that's very true what you said. And I just want to throw out there that those women, those dark-skinned women, go to bed dark skin and remembering those comments every day, and whereas you may just see it and say that's pretty bad and I'm not going to hang out with those people and continue on with your life and the problems that you have, which are valid problems. The dark skinned women walk through it with their day just as black people do, you know, every single day. It's an everyday thing, and I've seen I've heard the name calling and everything, and I've seen it. I've never seen it in a vicious way, but you know, I haven't seen it in a vicious way, but I have seen it in families, especially families from the islands and stuff like that. I have seen it, but it's just that there is a, you know, when it's the darker women, I feel like TBA said, darker women and sometimes a lot of brown women are treated like men. And where I think as you know, maybe a lighter woman or a white woman or someone who is not non-black is treated at least a little more feminine first until she shows that she's, you know, not a female or not feminine. And I think it just goes a lot beyond it, and you guys don't have it very fair because people are always going to question, you know, you because you are light-skinned, because people are always going to think that you do not understand. So it's not going to be ever fair, you know. It's not, and it's just people are not going to feel like it goes both ways, just like white and black people. We're never going to feel like the hate goes equally both ways.
Well, that's
you know,
because being white and black people know it's not the same thing. They've been pulled over by police and railroaded because they were white. They were annoyed with somebody because they were white. They've never... Racism is group activity, so it's not the same thing. I need to do a little bit of housekeeping here, but I want to talk. I want to address right quick what you were asking about the men. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I want to address that right quick about the men, because as men, what happens is that as men, what you're saying before about you don't. As a dark-skinned black male, I've never had a problem, and I wasn't raised in Louisiana. I have never had a problem with a light-skinned black male over society, because he knows, like I know, that if both of us go and commit a crime together, we're both going to get the same amount of time. The judge is not going to say, well, he's high yellow, let me cut him a break. You're going to walk in front of the judge, and you're going to get treated the same. The police are not going to pull up and treat you like a white boy simply because you're lighter. And he knows this. What I'm saying is that he knows there is no out mechanism, not for him. He might be able to get some white girl into bed a little bit easier than me, and can definitely get darker-skinned blacks into bed who have a quicker complex. He might be able to do that easier. I don't blame him for that. I blame their insecurities or whatever the case may be for that, but I don't blame him. Now, where women are concerned, y'all blame each other because you're powerless with men, and you're ultra-powerless against white supremacy and white society. You have no power where that's concerned at all. But where men, typically speaking, when a man cheats on his woman, who does she go after? She goes after the other woman. She doesn't go after him. She feels powerless. As a black male, I understand. I mean, when it's nut-cutting time, he's going to get the same time I do. If we get pulled over by the police, he's in just such danger as I am. If it's time to go apply for a job, he is facing the same uphill as me. There are only some micro niches in society where he might get a break or two. But what I'm saying is it's not substantial. It's not something that I look at and say, he's got some intrinsic advantage over me. Now, between light-skinned and dark-skinned black women, you understand when the men stop to help Melissa change her tire and left you sitting there with yours. You understand that. And that there's no difference to of us except I'm lighter and she's not. I mean, I'm dark and she's not. And you understand what it is when your boyfriend is buying Mona chocolates and calling her to find out what she's doing, and he didn't even remember your anniversary. You remember things like that. You remember at your job when the white manager is laughing and smiling with Melissa, and when you show up, he just tells you what you're here to do. You remember what it's like when they're having the office parties, and they make sure to let Mona know, yeah, Mona, you can take a break in 15 minutes. And yet, Deborah... it's still been sitting over there working, and ain't nobody even said nothing to her. Deborah just looked up and realized Eric was gone. remember things like that. And I don't know if Gwendolyn is dark skinned. I think you are, though. I think you are dark skinned.
I'm brown.
Wife, Gwendolyn. Okay, yeah.
I'm a Kevin Durant.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, can I say something, please?
Yes, Mona. Go ahead and try to refute.
Okay. What do you understand when myself and Melissa walk into a room, and some black men choose Melissa, and some black men choose me? What do you understand then? And do we also have a prejudice of light-skinned women against light-skinned women? Well, I take offense to you saying there's some dishonesty here.
I'll explain that one to you. That's perfectly fine. You said, what you're asking about the question there, about where's the discrepancy between them choose between Mona and Melissa. But here's the thing, though, Mona. You have never had a situation. What is the difference is that you haven't been in a situation where you didn't get chosen at all.
How do you know that, Jason? How do you know I did never get chosen at all? I have not got chosen at all.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
I have experienced that.
Yes, but here's the issue, though. You have never had anybody say, I'm not choosing you because you're too dark.
Yeah.
So that just surprises it when they say, I didn't choose you because you're light, and I don't like light-skinned women?
Okay, but
it's sort of offense.
You hear that a lot less than the dark-skinned females, you're too dark, because they don't just hear it from just men. They hear it at the job. They hear it at a photo shoot. They hear it from their other females. They hear it when it's time to take pictures. It's this constant drumbeat from the time they're 5 years old, and it's just like racism. Nope. When was the last time that a white person called you nigger to your face? Well, they don't. They just treat you like it. They don't have to say anything. Nonverbal has made the communication. So where you're concerned, yes, you've experienced those things. You have not lived in a society where they have made it very clear to you that Halle Berry can get an Oscar and can get movie after movie after movie. Sana Lathan can get movie after movie after movie. Paul Patton, whose only talent apparently is being married to Robin Thicke, can get movie after movie after movie. Mariah Carey can have a damn nervous breakdown in the middle of the stage and come right back and sell millions of albums. A black, dark-skinned black woman, we can't point to anybody who's done that. The standard is so much higher. You have to try twice as hard to get the same amount of acknowledgement as a woman. Just that feminine acknowledgement for dark-skinned black women is what's missing. And that's something that you haven't really had to struggle with in the same way as them. Now, what you're saying is, well, does that justify it? Of course not. I'm not saying that any just. I'm having this whole podcast specifically to address the issue that it's not justified, but it's there. I'm not here to discuss what's just. Just is a divine concept. You go to court, they're going to tell you, we want justice outside, but that's not really what we offer you here. We offer you the law, whether the law is just or not. And this is the facts, whether they are just or whether they're not. Even if Melissa does cut her own grass, it's not the same as it is for Gwendolyn. It's not the same as it is for Debbie, because at least somebody offered to cut Melissa's for her. Not quite so many offers coming from them. At least willing to pretend that they didn't want to sleep with Melissa from the beginning. Melissa gets messages that say, Hotep Queen. Black, dark-skinned black female just get a picture of his scrotum and what's up, baby? Even at a basic level, they're not getting it. Even crude gestures are not even have a curve on them. It's like, dude, for real? It's like I explained to the guy yesterday about Dick Cheney. A cold-hearted person is not somebody who screams nigger, 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 nigger all day. That's not them. A cold-blooded son of a gun is somebody who saw you get gunned down and stepped over your body as they walked into the Krispy Kreme donut store. That's the difference. At least the fellow who stopped to say nigger, nigger, nigger acknowledged your existence. The one who stepped over you, he's not even acknowledging your existence as a human being. And they've got, the average dark-skinned black female has got a lot more of those types of stories of not acknowledging womanhood and her femininity than you all do. You all have stories, okay, but they're not like that.
Okay, but let me say this. Then maybe we need to learn how to use our choice of words. Because when you come on a broadcast and you say, I can feel where you're coming from as a clear woman, but you're using some dishonesty, that messes up your whole story.
Mona, it was just dishonesty.
Gwendolyn. Let me explain here, because that's the same thing that I was saying. It's not, I'm not gonna back away from the word dishonesty, but what I will say is that it's kind of hard to miss that, because to make that statement would be the same as saying, well, because you were saying, no, it's not, and it's like, wait a minute. So what you're saying is that you don't see what all the rest of us are seeing. And what
I didn't say I did not see it. I don't acknowledge it. That's what I said. How can I be a woman to implement change if I keep on entertaining the same foolishness that other people entertain?
So you acknowledge for a while.
But that's what we're talking about. That's why he brought us on air.
What you thought about. Okay, but you acknowledge the light part, but you don't acknowledge the treatment of dark women. And that's going to cause hostility.
I did not acknowledge it. I said I see it. I don't entertain it.
Yeah, but when you say it's the same and it's equal, that's not acknowledging it, though.
I did not say it was the same and it was equal. I'm saying everybody does it. Everybody gets it. I don't know how severe it is. It's an individual situation. Like I said, what might hurt Gwendolyn as a brown-skinned woman might be tougher than that. You don't know where I came from as a light-skinned woman. And what might hurt me, she might accept that. We all have our own personal prejudice, racist experiences.
Yeah, but do you acknowledge that as a dark-skinned black woman, she encounters a lot more and a lot more severe? Or even more, maybe not even a lot more, but do you acknowledge that she, yes, you encounter it, but she encounters it more, and it's far less restrained where she's concerned?
And she probably does. At the end of the day, you get what you accept.
That's not really true. You had a hair shop, Mona, so you understand and you know the talk and you know the difference. You know the black hair, you know the good hair. You Mona, you know what I'm talking about, Miss Mona.
I don't do good hair, bad hair. I'm saying like this. When I have a black, dark skinned woman in my chair and she has any negative things about herself, any low self esteem, me and her go at it. You put your head up. You are a beautiful black woman. That's how I talk to my sisters. I do take offense when you say I'm being dishonest. Anything that you have that somebody can use against you, make you suffer from low self-esteem, me and you got a problem. Because as a light woman, if I can hold my head up, you better be holding your head up, your dark head up, right next to me. That's what I expect from my sisters. That's why I don't
entertain
it.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just that, you know, you had a lot to say about being a light woman. And I just don't understand how you cannot see or act as if you don't see. And then you mentioned the light skin versus light skin thing, and there is that too, because you can have a light skinned woman and she can have coarser hair, and then you could have someone with looser hair. So you do have that in between light skinned women, and I know you know that too. So what I'm saying is dishonest about how you kind of backtrack. I say, well, we're all the same now. We're all black women now. When if you spent an hour talking about women, you know, being rude to you and because you were light, which I understand that happens. But, you know, for you not to – you couldn't tell me that you understand that happens to dark and brown women and other women? You couldn't even give me
that. I guess it happens to everybody. I said it happens to everybody.
That's not the answer. You didn't say that
first. We talk about light skinned women.
Yes,
because
Mona.
That's what
I thought it was light and dark. I thought it was light and dark.
Gwendolyn, I think I'll articulate it for you. Mona, the point that you're thinking, though, is that we cannot say that it happens to everybody and then turn around and say it happens to dark skinned women more. It has to be one or the other. Either you're all encountering it equally, or we acknowledge that the dark skinned women are encountering it more. So
we're going to agree to disagree, but I don't know a person's how much they can take. I don't know a person's tolerance. I don't know
how much they can take. It's got nothing to do with how much abuse you can take. The question is, it's just like racial profiling. It's not about how much Clarence Thomas has gotten very good at tolerating racial profiling. So has Skip Gates. But the difference is I, as Jace Black, I don't tolerate even the first instance of it. The question is not how much racial profiling should I take. The question is, how much am I countering? Because no level of it is acceptable. You shouldn't have to take any of it. So the question is, well, yeah, we know we shouldn't have to take any of it, but there's one group over here that's catching a whole lot more than everybody else is. Can we not acknowledge the reality that they are catching a lot more than everybody else? Not that anybody is catching none, but can we acknowledge that they are catching more? When was the last time that Hollywood, a movie, a TV show, depict a light-skinned black woman as head-jerking, sassy, profane? We can go from True Blood to anything else you want to talk to. If it's a dark-skinned black female, if it's that Nationwide insurance company insurance commercial, or that Vegas commercial, Las Vegas commercial was really good, the DMV. She's going to be black, she's going to be dark, and she's going to be loud. When was the last time depicted a light-skinned black woman that way ever? When was the last time that the men treated you as if they were expecting that ever? That guy was talking to you crazy because you are like him and he didn't expect it. That was what he was expecting, is that, well, there'll be a pushover. So what I'm saying is that, can we not acknowledge the reason? Because to say something else is what she's saying about, that's what the dishonor comes, is that, wait a minute, at this point, now we're just disregarding the reality and saying, no, all of us are being treated the same. So we're either all being treated the same, or we're acknowledging that, yes, we are all getting dirt kicked on us. The dark-skinned folk are getting more dirt kicked on them often. Do we acknowledge that, or do we just say, oh, we're all just getting dirt kicked on us, and you're just more sensitive to the dirt being kicked on you, but we're all getting it kicked on us equally?
Okay, like I said, I can agree to disagree, because just like that man attacked me for being light-skinned, I might take offense to that. That might make me jump off the roof tonight. Yes, dark-skinned people probably get it. They do. They do get it first. And as far as TV is concerned, I haven't watched TV for 5 years because of that depiction.
Right, and that's
so,
fine.
Yes, they are depicted.
You don't have to
they
watch
are depicted in a negative way.
Right,
they,
now, it's well, everywhere. It's not just on television as an example, because the most watched one, but it's everywhere now. You don't want to see what's going on Twitter and Instagram. That's where your young people are today, and it's endemic. We've got groups where they are openly calling out and saying that dark-skinned black women are not as attractive. One of the people who was trying to sleep with Melissa has made a career out of saying that. And that steady drumbeat, year after year after year, that starts to take a toll.
And you're absolutely
not
correct,
really.
Because that same group that you're referring to, I know what it is. I deleted myself from that group. But it's still 5,000 dark-skinned women. They're still talking to the same people that are still disrespecting them.
Now, that's the other side of it there, is that as dark-skinned black women, Gwendolyn, at what point do dark-skinned black women and darker black women stop living up to their stereotypes and start saying, you know what, I'm going to take the bull by the horns. If I'm not respected, treated like business, if I'm not respected by this group, these people, or this man, or this woman for that matter, then I'm not going to be seen here. Instead of fighting and arguing to gain acceptance among a group of people who have made it, they've already stated what they believe, but you're just going to sit there and fight them. That's what gets the treatment of being treated like a man. When
exactly.
You have a reputation for
no TVA. You're letting Mona deflect. I'm sorry, you're letting Mona deflect. I understand what
Gwendolyn,
you're saying, but you're allowing Mona to deflect.
Gwendolyn, she just been acknowledging it. Maybe you missed it. She just finished acknowledging it.
I guess it was.
Yeah, I mean, she just been acknowledging it. But what we're moving on to now is that she's acknowledged that, okay, yeah, you do get more of that kind of treatment, but the next question is, okay, what do you do about it? Now that you've acknowledged, okay, yeah, you're correct, you're encountering that more. Now, but at the same time, if you are going to keep going into places and keep frequenting places and make it where your hallmark is to live up to those stereotypes, what makes you think that you're going to change the perception? Because every slave is complicit in his bondage. And it's just like if there's a bar, if there are 10 bars in my city, and there's one redneck bar where they scream nigger every time you go in, I'm just determined that I'm going to integrate the We Hate Niggers bar. I'm living up to my stereotype.
So is that why they treat it like that?
Black and belligerent. But at what point do I stop saying, you know what, I don't have anything to prove to these people, that's not what I am. So at what point do I say, okay, they don't like me, I acknowledge that they don't like me, and white folk can go in 10 out of 10 bars in town and not get treated badly. I can only go into 8 out of 10. But at what point do we write off the other two and say, hey, you know what, I can do better than this? At what point do we do that? As opposed to giving into a stereotype of I'm going to be loud and rude and raucous, and I'm still going to be in place living up to a stereotype. At what point do we stop doing that?
So that's why they're treated, you think darker women are treated like
Gwendolyn,
that? Because they
Gwendolyn,
allow
it? I asked a question, but you're answering my question with a question. Please tell me, at what point do you stop going to places and stop fighting and yelling and screaming and arguing in places where clearly they have told you you're not welcome? At what point does that stop? Because that is also feeding into the situation that gets that kind of treatment. At what point do you stop?
Yeah, you're going places where you're treated bad and where you know you're going to be treated bad. And I think that has to do with self-esteem and as to when that individual, you know, and people do need to stop. I agree, people need to stop. You don't need to allow, you should not allow anybody to treat you that way. I think that would leave a black woman with not being able to leave their house. But, you know, I don't think dark women are loved or anything. So.
Well, let me deal with that, okay? I want you all to imagine, I'm trying to think of a white woman who doesn't really have a reputation for hanging out with black men. Scarlett Johansson. Okay? Just imagine her. Can you imagine Scarlett Johansson going to the Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys Club? Could you imagine her going to the Black Panthers Club if Brother Muhammad's still alive? Could you imagine her going to Sa Ra Suit and Seti's Club? My point is, as little white as she is, she's not going to sit there and argue with you about the mistreatment that she got going to the Black Panthers Club. She's not going to argue with you over that. She's not going to say anything. There are a number of black clubs that will let her in and have no problem with her being there. But what she will not do is sit up here and make a life of complaining about the one or two clubs that did not treat her well. Right now, 50% of black females have herpes. 50%. 20% of black males have herpes. 20%. What's that telling you? That's telling you that 50% of males are all dogpiling the same 20% of black males. They're passing them around in the most hideous, nasty, disgusting, and unsanitary behavior. They are not saying, I can do better. They are waiting for Pookie to treat them differently. 50% are waiting for Pookie and Ray Ray and John John and Mike Mike to treat them different. So even if we acknowledge that you are being treated less respectfully than the light-skinned ones, you have not illustrated to us that you are demanding a higher form of respect, too. They both go hand in hand. Because at the end of the day, I can only walk on the female who makes herself available for me to walk on. Now, granted, that may not necessarily ensure that more of those doors are going to be held open for you, and it might not necessarily ensure that more people are going to cut your grass or stop to help you with that flat tire. But what I am saying is that as a group, dark-skinned black men are not upholding the other side of the road there, because for light-skinned black women are concerned, as Melissa told you, she doesn't give the time of day to 99% of the guys who send her messages. The average dark-skinned black woman will go back and forth with you for weeks or months or longer.
Yes.
Now, what I'm saying is that when you build that up as your reputation, even if Gwendolyn is not that way, what is a reputation? A reputation is what entered the door before you did. Your reputation is what walks into a building before you do. And whether you like it or not, you are a member of dark-skinned black women. And thus, you are also part of the reputation that they've built.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Yeah. Then I'll let her have the last word, because I want to try to get the pause in.
Okay, just imagine this. I am light-skinned women and a woman, and I go into a group that's bashing dark-skinned women. Do I stay in said group because I'm a light-skinned woman and they're not going to talk about me? Or do I leave the group because when they talk about me, they're talking about my sisters? And because my sisters don't speak up for themselves, I cannot watch that, and I remove myself. Because that's how much I love my sisters. When you talk about her and she's dark, you talk about me. And if you don't stand for yourself like I would, I roll with you. That's all I have to say.
I'll let you last word, Gwendolyn.
Yes, well, thank you, Melissa and Mona, for your answers. I think that I am hopefully not a dark-skinned or brown-skinned or black woman or light-skinned or any type of woman that fulfills those negative stereotypes, and I'm pretty sure that I'm not. I understand what you're saying, Jason. And so it's just, you know, it wasn't so much about well, never mind about that. I understand what you're saying, Mona. I'm glad that you're the way that you are, and I'm glad Melissa's like that too, and you're strong, and I'm glad that I walk away from things like that. I think there's too many people of every skin tone that aren't walking away out of situations like that. Yeah, I do think that there are a lot of light women who will stand around and do like that when they down dark-skinned women, so I'm glad you're not one of them. But thank you guys for answering my questions. Thank you. Black first.
Thank you, Gwendolyn.
Thank you for giving us a call there. And as a black male, as a dark-skinned black male, I understand the reputation that dark-skinned black males have. Didn't say it's right, didn't say it's fair. But I understand it. I'm not saying that I'm going to justify race profiling or anything else like that, but I can't sit here and say that I don't acknowledge what happened at Club Lexus last weekend. I can't sit here and say that I don't acknowledge what happened at Benzino's mama's funeral. Are you for real? Your nephew is shooting at the damn funeral like an episode of The Sopranos. No respect for this dead woman. None. As a black male, I can't overlook that and say, well, you know, y'all just do different. I can't do that. I can't say, don't judge me based on that. I can't do that. Is it right? No. Is it fair? No. But as a member of that group, I can't sit up here and say I'm a member of black males when it's convenient and say I'm not a member when it's not. I'm not taking responsibility for his foolishness. That's what you got a court for. But I need to also acknowledge that this is going to have a systemic domino effect. It is. I don't have to like it, but it is. It is. Fair or not, right or not, it is.
Jason, to the caller, the man that called, he was early on. What he was saying, that's just how what black women act. I understand to an extent what he was getting at, and I think Gwendolyn hit on that also. And that's why I say I don't get upset when people pick apart my features. I mean, that's – I understand. I get the plight of the dark-skinned black woman. I fully understand it. I see it. My problem is take it further to disagreement, to threatening, stalking, and harassing. But, you know, I see, I get it, and I understand.
I'll see if I can grab another couple of calls here. let me see if this works here. Let's do this one more time here. Caller from 256, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Mark Peterson. I'm from Alabama, Sylacauga, Alabama. Very excellent discussion. Earlier, a caller had was telling Melissa, and let me say hello to Melissa and Mona, and also you. The caller was telling Melissa, you have to understand that, you know, when people say things about you not being black, your last name is Ortiz and stuff like that. It's if black people don't have Spanish black names, African black names. I know black Russians. You know, we're a diverse people. We populated the earth. The first man that walked was a black man. As we spread out throughout the land, I can guarantee you there's a little black kid in China whose last name is Lee. You know what I'm saying? There's a little black kid in Japan whose last name is Mitsubishi or something like that. You know, all of this, and I heard somebody say earlier that this all reverts back to sex. I disagree with that. fundamentally. This reverts back to miseducation. Okay? I'm 47 years old. I've lived in different spots of the world. My mother is German. My father is from Greenville, South Carolina. My father taught me basically everything not to do, and my mother tried to teach me everything to do. Okay? Now, my entire life I had both of them. Both of them from a little child until I was 18, and I left home at the age of 19, joined the military. My parents were married that entire time, not that they didn't have difficulties. But that whole time, and you've got to understand, I was born in 1967 to a black man and a white woman in America growing up. So when we went places, people were looking left and right. Oh, my God, look at that. And I never understood when my mother used to scream at these white folks talking about what you've never seen, a white person, a white woman with a beautiful black baby. And my dad would put his head down and walk away. You know what I'm saying? My mother did not play that. She used to tell me all the time, I hate these white Americans. And the whole idea of race did not hit me until I joined the military. The last thing my mother told me when I left home as I walked out the door was, don't bring a white bitch back here. I'm like, wow. I mean, talk about not understanding certain things. I get into the military, and I start to see racism from white folks. I'm like, man, you know, okay, this is different. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting treated different. But I got a best friend who's dark as a piece of coal. And he's catching hell left, right, top, and bottom. I'm like, what is going on with this whole thing? So I decided to take it upon myself to start learning things. Okay? I learned the evolution of us as a people here in America, as black people. I learned about the mentality that was instilled upon us from slave masters and how that house nigger went and helped further that mentality that we weren't anything. We were less than a horse, three-fifths of a man, and how we all accepted it as a fact. And then as we go through hundreds of years of thinking like this, we finally get to the point where some of us are like, this isn't right, we're going to rebel against this, so on and so forth. And then you got others who are like, don't fuck the system, we got it good. I've actually heard black people, and I forget what his name was, but he's a prominent black man in America, say that slavery was good for us. This was the best thing that happened to us. And a lot of folks don't understand that what slavery did to us was change us mentally, make us feel inferior. So as
well, that was what slavery did. I mean, you're right about that, that slavery was the genesis of it. You're correct. But there is so much today that we are doing as black people that has no real correlation to slavery any longer. It's got similarities to the types of patterns of behavior, but slavery lost effect, and it's something else that is engendering these mechanisms. Because
okay, well,
Melissa
let me
will tell you this,
beautiful.
Mona will tell you this. What it is that when these females are sitting there and never, 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 ever have a word, not one sentence to say in favor of black empowerment, and when there are a bunch of dark-skinned women in the room that they have nothing to say, a light-skinned male shows up, and she's perfectly fine unless and until the men start showing that light-skinned female any type of preference or attention, because they are so used to the fellas making a beeline. Because I'm from Louisiana, where light-skinned females are a bit more common here than a lot of other areas around the country. And so
it's not
anything special, but we don't do that. But you go out to another place where they're not so common, and the fellas, they lost their damn minds. I see every single day. And it's ridiculous, but that's what they're doing. So the females are having a reaction, because I have seen, if you're in the military, Now, the military is a bit of an engineered environment, so it's not as acute.
Absolutely.
But at your age, I'm pretty sure you've seen situations where the dark-skinned females have just been left with no partner when music stops. I mean, that's just
Absolutely.
It. They have been left by themselves to fend for themselves. They've seen a situation where black males, for example, will treat their white baby mama or their light-skinned baby mama better than their dark-skinned one.
Absolutely.
So from a very basic
Absolutely.
Level, they're seeing it
also.
Like, I ain't even be at the top of the garbage can. You know, it's just get being on the, in a penthouse, I can't even get out the garbage can. What in the world? So that's kind of situation that they're seeing on so many different levels. So it in that aspect, there are things like that that they're concerned about. They're like, hey, where's my piece of the pie today?
Okay, but see, what happened was, instead of that slavery mentality, what happened was when Martin Luther King fought for integration, okay, we became a part of a society that hated us. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, for better or worse, you know what I'm saying, regardless of the intention, you have to understand it's when you integrate into a society that despises you, cannot expect them, nor should you expect them, to try and help you become the best that you can be. Instead, expect them to try and help you become the worst you can be. Expect that society, those people in that society, to try and help you further the worst that you have. Because after integration, black men locked up at an incredible rate. Our communities flooded with drugs. Our communities ripped apart because the black man is now in prison and the black woman now has to raise the children and go to work, which actually, you know what I'm saying, hurt us as a people. So now this is what's happening in the 70s and the early 80s, okay? And then with crack coming into the community and all of this. Now, what we have here is a generation of children. Now, I don't know how old Melissa is, and I believe Mona said she was 53. You know, I'm 47. Now, what we have here from these teenagers to the 30-some-year-olds are a community of black men, and I hate to say this, but it is the god-awful truth, who have been indoctrinated with the pimp mentality. Because all I've heard from the time I started paying attention to us as black people is black men saying you have to break a hoe down and then build her up into what you want her to be. And you talked about that earlier, how men just steadily barrage a woman with insults, trying to break her self-esteem down so that he can get into the bed with her. You know what I'm saying? And that's exactly what's happened with the likes of, you know, I mean, what I'm thinking of the phrase. Snoop Dogg says, we don't love them hoes. The problem with that phrase was these young black children and these younger black men started relating the word hoe with every black woman or every woman that they came across. Oh, no, not my mama, though. My mama ain't no hoe. But you'll call every other woman in the world a hoe or a bitch. You know what I'm saying? That's where the mentality started to build. Now we've got 1990 to where we are now, 2014. We're looking at almost 25 years of this type of mentality festering within black women and black men, being whether I'm the baddest bitch, you know what I'm saying, or I'm a boss, I do these things, I do this thing, you know what I'm saying, drug dealer. There used to be a time where a drug dealer was despised, now he's exalted. There used to be a time where a girl, a hoe, or a woman who a gold digger was despised, now that's something to aspire to, you know. And when it comes to the racial differences between us as black people, these are learned behaviors, too, that are learned from parents. And these behaviors are learned from parents who really did not have a proper education or a proper upbringing because of the fact that the black community from the early 70s till now was incessantly bombarded with drugs and violence and guns and miseducation.
I absolutely agree. I think all those things are factors. But the real question is, at this point right now, what do we do about them? Since we all can acknowledge that those factors are there, what do we do now?
I got your answer. Here's what we do now. Because you got to understand. What do they say? You can't teach old dog new tricks. Well, one thing that I've done with my son and my children is let them know, say, yes, there is a difference between black people and white people, but the thing about it is you don't treat people based on their color. You treat people on how they treat you, regardless of what color they are. So what we have to do is we have to rebuild our house. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a community. Somebody said that earlier. We do not have a community. So what we have to do is we have to rebuild our house. And you build a house from the foundation up. Our foundation is our children. Now, you have to understand that in a symbiotic relationship, you have a parasite and you have a host. Usually the parasite is the unwanted one, but it sometimes has a beneficial purpose to the host. Okay? So what we do is we take our young children who are promising, who have a lot to offer, and you got to understand, not every child can be saved. So you don't sacrifice some good children. You have to get the bad apple out. You have to take the bad apple out of the barrel, otherwise you'll ruin them all. We take our children, we educate them in a proper fashion without race being a major factor. Because I don't know how many times I have sat there and listened to somebody say, white folks are racist against black people, they hate us, and then turn around and almost in the same breath and say, I hate white people. That's stupid. You know what I'm saying? It's mind-boggling how they don't correlate that connection, that you're telling them not to be racist, but in the same hand you're saying you're being racist. And then this thing about black people not being able to be racist.
Black people cannot be racist.
Cannot be racist.
That is stupid.
That's physically impossible.
You know what I'm saying? That's stupid.
That's
you have white
impossible.
People. You have Chinese
That's like the term jumbo shrimp. I mean, it's relative, but it's not factual. Black people are incapable of being racist. Yeah, it's impossible. Racism is group activity that requires power, wealth, and influence superior to people that your group is inflicting your racism upon. Black people have never and do not now have superior power, wealth, and influence that we are able to subjugate another group of people and take their power, wealth, and influence. Thus, we cannot be racist. Now, you could say prejudice. Okay, that's annoying, but there is no court system that is racist against white people. What happened to Trayvon Martin when George Zimmerman was acquitted? Not when George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin, but when George Zimmerman was acquitted. That was racism.
Okay, so would you say George Zimmerman was racist?
Was George Zimmerman racist? Yes, he was part of a race because he's part of that system that can victimize a black person. Now, if there was, I had a way of joining a system that could victimize white people in equal or superior fashion, then I have the ability to be racist. I can't be racist as an individual. Racism is a group phenomena. You can't just say this guy doesn't like white people.
Okay,
he's racist.
I understand what you're saying.
He may be prejudiced, but he's not racist. Take a look at the word race. That is telling you right there, component is race. It's your group. Now, prejudice is something an individual can do. But as long as we as a group got no power, wealth, influence, all we can do is march. That's all we can do. And you show me what we've got for
which
our
was
50 years of marching.
Which was useless.
We got nothing.
All we got for marching was an integration into a deviant group. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what happened to us. We got the right to vote. You know what I'm saying? Which was useless because
we had the right to vote since before Lincoln. I mean, the Voting Rights Act simply removes some racial barriers in some places.
We had the right before they were taken from us.
The right to vote has been worthless for us because we have no power, wealth, or influence. All we can do is vote for somebody who does have power, wealth, and influence, but we do not have the option of voting for somebody who is in our best interest because we don't have any power or influence to put someone who is in our best interest.
And Obama has been a perfect example of that.
He's the perfect example. I really got to go so I can get some more callers here, but I can let you have the last word really quickly.
Well, you know, all I would say is that, I'm a first-time listener. I've seen Melissa on Facebook. I haven't had the chance to listen to Mona yet, but I will definitely do that. All I'm going to say is that we as a black people, if you want to make changes, there are certain people that who are against you, and they're black also. Get those people out of your life. Teach your children good things. Teach your children the right way. And most importantly, be involved in your children's lives. I know we got to work a lot. I know we got a lot of things to do. But if we're going to change anything, this is going to have to be a marathon. And we're going to have to start with our children. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us, brother. Please call in again. Everybody wants to talk to Melissa and Mona. This is my broadcast. How did y'all just walk in here, team High Yellow just walked in here and said, get away, TBA, they'll tell us now. Really? This is that right preference I was talking about, Mona.
Oh, goodness.
Whatever.
They've been listening to me for years, and I'm a dark-skinned black male. Okay, Melissa and Mona, let me step over TBA right quick. Hello, Mona, how you doing? Really? Is it that good? That's the way it works?
No.
Apparently it is, man. You have a problem with just accepting your preferential treatment, Mona. Really, I guess she figures if she just keeps denying it, I'll just keep denying it. It's not there. Excuse me, this man just said it.
You're absolutely correct. I do have a problem with accepting preferential treatment. I do.
Okay.
I have a problem with people helping me. I do. I do have a great problem with that.
Well, I need you to tell these Negroes because they preferential treatment right on out of here. Okay, now, right now, this is supposed to be Clear Thought on the line with us. Wake up, Clear Thought. Put down the Androgel. Caller from 248, you're on the line. Okay, he must have taken a break so that he can go and, we're not going to get into that. He's probably not going to be able to speak to us here again, and I don't want him in my chat room either since he had an opportunity to speak to me and declined my generous offer. See if I can try somebody here. I'm going to run through calls here as quickly as I can since we've been doing this for a while. Is this caller from the 832? Caller from 832, last try on live with Black Man. Is this that brother who every time I talk to him, he's got ambulances going by? Really, I mean, there's that, y'all know that one guy, he's always sitting up here, and that's it. I mean, I call and just, dude, you live next to a fire station and just, is that your thing? I try to give black people credit, man. I try. I really do. But, man, it's just hard. I try to give them credit, and they just keep letting me down. Caller from the 612, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, we got another breather online. Caller from the 612, please take off the latex gloves. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, we've got another one sitting under the subway. Caller from the 702, you're on live with the Black Channel. And please do not say what I think I'm about to hear. Really? Is that it? Caller from 702-771, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, if anybody sees caller from 702 771-2792. Please contact medical personnel. He may be in trouble. He's definitely been abducted. Caller from the 562, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Mr. Black. It's Nene.
Connected. I don't hear anyone.
Nene, now you better have something to say.
Okay.
Don't get scared because Mona's on the line. Don't get scared.
Not scared, but I mean, I've been listening for a few minutes now. I literally just got home, but wanted to give my support and listen. I guess it's been what, dealing with light skins and dark skins, the difference.
Light skins and dark skins. Now they got teeth.
Is that what? If I'm wrong, you can correct me. Is that not what the show is about, or is it?
No. You're right. You just in a new term into the lexicon: light skins and dark skins, like the Redskins. So.
I guess I can say, speaking from my experience, I've experienced the difference in treatment.
With Mona?
Me and Mona, that's my partner in crime, so we don't have that kind of problem. But
wait a minute, talk about partner in crime. We got a bunch of black folk around. Don't do that. It's stereotypical. Don't do that.
I meant that in a positive way, a positive way.
All right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I could say I've experienced it, but I don't let it get to me that way. I just know what not to put up with. I know where not to go. I know who not to deal with. So it doesn't get to me like that.
Well, that's definitely helpful. I'll go ahead and put you back on the line, back on hold here, Nene. I can't say her name without feeling I'm disrespecting her. Nene. Can I just say her full name? Can I get away with doing that, or is that going to be offensive in 2014?
You can do that.
Oh, good. I can do that. Caller from 872. Okay. You're on live with the channel Bourbon Babies, apparently.
Hello?
Yes, you're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Christina, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Okay, your name is what?
Sorry. My name is Christina, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Christina calling from Chicago. Do we interrupt baby night?
I was putting my daughters to sleep, sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure there because I heard something. First I thought it was like kitten or something. I was about to say, the cat. Come on, what is this? Now it was baby. I better say that because now they're going to think I'm just trying to be mean.
No, I'm just putting her down.
And what's on your mind, sister? Now, just so I can acknowledge this, because tonight, you know, I had Christina, who was in the chat room. I don't know if you're her or not. And Alexis is in the chat room also. I had never seen Alexis before. I see her online, but I hadn't seen her before tonight. And so I just want to welcome her for finally popping it up and showing herself. Please stick with us more. Now, were you Christina in the chat room?
Yeah.
Okay, so why'd you leave?
Oh, my internet service is going out in this area, so I have to get on the phone to listen because it was going out on my computer.
Okay. Well, let me know if you see Eric out there messing with your phone lines or whatever.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say that I think that the topic was really, really interesting, and I also wanted to point out that it's crazy that we even have to have this discussion about skin tone and about us as black people treating each other bad when we have so much stuff that we should be focusing on other than skin tone. It's like, I can't believe that we have to even debate this. We are all, and I hope we are all together in the run and race for us to come together and have a economy and have a community, but we have to debate something as simple as skin tone. It's just crazy to me.
Well, before I lose the ability to take calls, which I will here in the next couple of minutes. If there's anybody who wants to call in and question and say that, define for me what being black is. That seems to come up a lot. If there's somebody who wants to define for me what being black is, you got the next 2 minutes to call in and do that because she's going to start the countdown here in just a moment. But you got a couple of minutes to call in and do that. If you want to sit up here and say these people do not qualify as black, I'm going to give you an opportunity to call us and explain to us exactly what does being black mean? What is black? And I think that's a good question there for you as well. She's about to drop her hormones. There she goes. All right. So, can you explain to us, Christina, what do you think being black means? How do we know that somebody is really black as opposed to somebody who is, I guess, not really black?
Well, for me, I think my definition would be how they identify themselves. You know, if someone is, well, I guess really dark-skinned and they're like, well, I can care less about the black community, they're not really beneficial for us, you know. If someone's biracial, mom is white and dad's black, and they're saying, hey, I'm black, then they're black. I don't think anyone has the right to say, oh, no, you have a white mom or you have a white dad and you only half, you're not black. Like, that's stupid.
Well, that's the reason why I have a problem with it, because so much of what I see and so much of what most people have seen has just been part of the fact that these are individuals that, and I've had this before my broadcast where I've asked them, go ahead and explain to me exactly what do you mean by black. Explain to me what qualifies. Now, there was a female today on one of the threads in Relationship Talk who was saying that you are black if you're 75% black or more, to which I simply asked her, who made this rule that you have to have, quote, 75% African heritage or more? She gives me a link to theroot.com to an article written by no less than Henry Louis Gates about this. Now, first of all, Mr. Gates did not say that you have to be 75% black to be able to be black. He was just giving out a list of ethnicities and, you know, what percentages of people had 75% African heritage, 60%, 2%, so on and so forth. So that wasn't even what it said, but she's just pulling this mess out of her ear and telling the rest of us that this is a fact, to which I explained to her, okay, it's not factual. She said, well, that's my preference for it, to which I asked her, okay, how do you identify if a person is 75% black? How do you make that determination? Because in reality, what we can do is we can determine if somebody is 0% black, or should I say, we can determine that somebody is not 0% black. We can determine that you have African heritage in you. We can't really be sure how much. We can determine you have European heritage in you. We can't determine how much. Just because you got dark skin and a wide nose does not necessarily make you majority black, even if we could determine such a thing. Take a look at Nelson Mandela. He was more black than any of us. And he was lighter skinned than me. So we can't just go strictly off melanin, and we can't just go strictly off facial features or hair texture. Those are all components, don't get me wrong. But those things alone cannot solitarily determine your Africanness. There's a component that nobody wants to deal with. Nobody wants to talk about identity. Because once we include that one, then a lot of females in particular and males who want some easy draws have to get lazy asses up and back away from the table because you don't have power here anymore. And that's part that they don't want. Now, people shouldn't be allowed to jump around. They shouldn't be allowed to say I identify as black one week and not the next. That's like being Democrat and Republican. You can't sit up here and bouncing around all the inspector. You can't do that. Once you make a determination, you need to stick with it. But it's up to people to make sure you stick with it. But we don't want to talk about identity because then that disarms people. And they have to simply accept what's been stated. But the truth is, if somebody wants to tell me what being black is, I'll definitely speak to you. You can explain to me exactly what it is. Black to the extent that you can disqualify somebody. If you can say that I can identify black to the extent that I can disqualify someone, I want to hear that. I want to hear what measurement, what metric you are utilizing to be able to pull that off. What do you think, Christina?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it because I find that we only get called out on our blackness when people want to disagree with us and they don't have an actual disagreement. Like, I made a post, I think a day or so ago, and instead of trying to debunk my argument, I got called a mutt, which I'm not racial at all. But it was like, oh, no, you're not even black. You don't look black. You're whatever. And it's like, oh, really? Now that you can't debunk my argument, now it's I shouldn't talk because I'm not as dark as, you know, whatever. I don't have as whatever features that you think I should have that now I shouldn't talk. I think that people pull the black card when they can't say anything else.
I mean, but they can't debunk your argument, and they can't de-black you. So let's change the subject and say, well, I mean, isn't that a clever innovation on your mama's black? I mean, now it's, I'm blacker than you. Okay, but you're not more correct than me. Doesn't matter, dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and 2 + 2 is still 4. No, it's not. It's 5. I'm darker. Really? And this is what we're up against right now. Outrageously immature. This is what we get for letting so many teenagers have children. Can we just say that? This is the world that you end up with when you let your children be raised by 2 generations now of teenagers who've never had to actually face the world in a mature, concrete fashion. They have children who walk out into the world making elementary school arguments. That's what we
I agree. Have.
Now,
I
are Christina, who was
that.
Saying that she was nervous before about coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you see what happened? You didn't get jumped on. You didn't get yelled at. I did all in the first hour. But everything went smoothly. Now, in your case here, by the way, Christina is not a light-skinned black female either, y'all. She's not. She's not dark as me, but she's not a light-skinned black female. She's not. She's more brown skin. I mean, she's not dark skin, but she's not. She is not this light, high black skin female. She's more like Nia Long. But this is how ridiculous it gets when we allow that kind of nonsense to keep going. When we don't shut that mess down, this is what happens. People who are not building, and the people who you are talking about. These are folk who do not give a damn about blackness, by the way. Mm. You talk to them any other day of the year. They have never on the black channel. They have never commented on one of my posts. When we talk about blackness, they are MIA, and they always have been. They only want to pull out this racial solidarity. They try to use the shaming tactic, rather, of racial solidarity when it suits them. But any other time, these people are never heard from. Never. And that's the first sign that this jackass should be allowed to speak. Why are you allowing somebody to speak who has nothing to say on blackness for the 364 days of the year? And what prompted them to speak up this time was they were jealous of a light-skinned female, or she may have been not black at all, I'm not sure. But that's her motivation. Don't you see how petty and scheming this is? Don't you see how conniving and scheming this person is, and you're just going for it? Because, as Lonnie said, there's so many people out there who figure, well, if I hate the same person that this pair of panties hates, I might be able to get the panties. And by the way, Christina's the one who gets a hard time because she's not offering them up either.
I just think that it's sad that we have so many black women that have this, they harbor this hatred for themselves that they can hear something that is truthful and still want to argue about it because that person may not be as dark as they are. And then I just find it funny how people say that they don't see themselves in the media and that's why that they feel the way they feel, but I just find it funny because I don't understand why you would expect for your oppressor to put positive images out in the media, in their media, of you. So, of course, you're not going to see yourself. You have to go out and look for yourself and do it on your own. You can't expect for your oppressors to put on their media and have positive images of you. That's stupid.
But yes, can. I mean, if you've grown up your whole life on Section 8 and food stamps, welfare and housing projects, answering to white housing inspectors and white social workers and white food stamp workers, yeah, you learn very quickly that all good things come from white people. I can't do anything good for myself. All good things come from them. So if I can't get them to open up their magazine, if I can't get them, I mean, I did, and I'm in True Blood tonight because it reminded me I got so many people who used to send me messages when I started talking about the media. They were sending me a bunch of messages about True Blood. But they didn't like the fact that the black girl, Tara.
Tara, yeah.
I think her name is. Okay. That she was typical dark-skinned black female, loud, raunchy, swinging on people all the time. That was her thing, is that she's tough Tara. The other black person in the cast was Lafayette, a flaming homosexual. I shouldn't say flaming, because do we have something hotter than flaming? Inferno? Do we have that? I mean, he's a black male who wears eyeshadow. I mean, the show's off the air, so forget it. But a black male who walks around with eye. The only thing he didn't walk around with was a dress. That was the only thing he was missing, because he did have an array of blouses.
Oh, yeah.
And what I'm saying is that they were complaining about True Blood. They complain about the way that black characters are depicted or treated or whatever on The Walking Dead. Complain, complain, complain. Why? Because 50% of your black plus percent of your black children are being raised in housing projects with the mentality and with the inculcation that all good things come from white people, I think myself. All good things come from them. All good things. So that's why they're not moving. They are waiting for white people to bring them proper depictions of themselves, just like they're waiting on white folk for their welfare. Remember last year when the food stamps got cut off? Their food stamp cards weren't working for a couple of hours. They were in Walmart. Pandemonium.
I was so embarrassed.
Don't you know that as a white male, don't you know that that was confirmation for the white average white male? Can we just be honest about it? Can I just say that now?
Yes.
If you are a white male and you wanted confirmation that you got the game locked down, that night when the food stamp cards were not working and the Negroes were all over the place acting a fool, that showed them right there, man, I got this thing locked up. You want to know why you got naked black women sitting here in every video you can see performing all kinds of sex acts on these white men? Now you know. Now you know. And they're upset when they see females that they perceive as getting an advantage that they don't, because they know if the ass falls out, what are they going to negotiate with? And in their mind, well, you light-skinned females are close to white folk. You will get not only more favor from the men. Let's understand something. Can we just be honest right now? No female wants to work. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that. Can we just be honest, though? Females not like physical labor. They don't. If they had the option of a man doing it for them while they stayed home, they'll take that every single time. A female goes to work when she has to. But if she has a man who can do it for her, she's going to sit back and let him do it for her. How do you think it feels to be a member of the group of females that the men don't work for you? They'll work for these others. They ain't working for you. You damn right she's mad as hell that you've got males who are sitting up here and they got 2 and 3 bastard babies and mad as hell at Melissa saying, you got bastard children. What the hell? But that's not their problem. They're trying to make you feel bad about yourself because they take a look at their lives and how hard it's been. They took a look at all of the perks and all the benefits that they don't get, all the preferential treatment that they feel that they don't get. And they say, why is it that Mona's life wasn't this hard? Why doesn't Melissa have it this hard? Nobody is treating them like they treat me. Let me knock her down a peg or two. She deserves to see what it's like to suffer. She deserves to see what it's like to have people think about her in a bad way from the beginning. She deserves to see what it's like to be me. And since nobody else is going to treat her like that, I'm going to let her see what it feels like to be me for a little while. I'm going to let Christina see what it feels like to be me for a bit. But she smiles too much. And I take a look at my life and ain't nothing to smile about. So I'm going to go knock her down a peg or two. Let her see what it's like to be on my side of the fence. Because if she did, she wouldn't be in here smiling and preening. And as ridiculous and vicious and hostile as it is, that's the truth. Why does she get more options in men than I do? It's not fair. It's not right. She shouldn't get that. Because nobody even offered it to me. It's not right. It's not right for that to occur. So I wanted to see that for yourself. That's what's happening with you all. And I'm not a person who plays that game. I've never played that game with anybody. And I don't do it now. It's not that I defend one group of women or another. I stand up for black women. But they want the acknowledgement that I will give them preferential treatment. And what I'm saying is, no, there will be none. There will be no preferential treatment for you. You are going to have to get in just like everybody else. And they don't want that. They want it handed to them. And what I'm saying is that, and I don't like this because they feel it's fair, you have to earn your pistol. You have to earn it. But take a look at how hard I've worked and how much I've suffered, and look how much you've let it corrode you and contaminate you. Look at your attitude. We give pedestals to our queens and our ladies. We do not give pedestals to our pit bulls. Have you ever seen a bulldog or a Rottweiler on a pedestal? Even in a museum? I haven't. To a certain extent. But we need them to understand that, right or wrong, and I want this to be very, very clear for everybody out here. Let me thump the jet black microphone again. Everybody out there, whether you think it's right, whether you think it's wrong, whether you think it's just, whether you think it's unjust as hell, this is the way it's going to be. This is just the way it's going to be. Respect is not given. As a dark-skinned black female, yes. Life ain't been no crystal stair. Go look that up. It has not been a crystal stair, and it's not going to be. And that's just the way it is. Now, you can sit here and keep waiting for this ethnic messiah to show up, who is going to wave a magic wand and mystically, magically, instantly, you'll just wake up the next day and all of a sudden start getting the level of respect that you feel that other people get in the net you deserve. You keep on waiting for that. Let me know how that turns out for you. The real world, we understand that nobody's going to give you that. You're going to have to earn it. You're just going to have to wait, and you're going to have to earn it. And that's it. Whether you think it's right, whether you think it's wrong, whether you think we shouldn't be doing it, whether you think they shouldn't be doing it, whether you think the society is upside down, nobody wants to hear your whining and your complaining. Nobody wants to hear it. It's not right. It's not fair. Don't want to hear it. So you can make a decision. You can become bitter, mad, and lonely, or you can actually accept the way things are and start maneuvering within the real world and the real framework. Those are your choices. I'll let you have the last word, Christina.
Well, I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you for a few months now, and I really, really enjoy your broadcast because it feels great to have other people that think like me. Me being 23, it's like, wow, I see a lot of people that feel like, yeah, I feel, and if they're able to express their feelings in an intelligent way. And it's amazing. And thank you. And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. To get another couple of calls in here. Caller from the 313, you're on Live Black Channel.
Hey, Jason Black, it's Niggas Boo. How you doing?
Black first, but what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to actually answer your question of what's the qualifications for a person to be black. And I just called in about 20 minutes ago, so I don't know what's all been said. But I will say this. I think one of the general qualifications is African descent. I think I know there's been DNA research where a black person didn't have any African descent. They said it was from Europe or something. But I think you definitely have to have be of African descent in your DNA. Another thing is you must not have Neanderthal in your blood. I don't know if you heard about that research. I'm probably sure you're familiar with it. I think they say it's about people of non-African descent. They usually have about 2% of Neanderthal in their DNA. I think that's something else that distinguishes, and I'm just talking about on a genetic basis. Now, I think it's definitely a combination when you're looking at the phenotype. I think you do have to have some level of melanin in your skin. Unless you are albino or something like that, then that's an exception, of course. But unless you don't have any kind of mutation, I think you do have to have a level of melanin. So I would say phenotype-wise, you have to have a level of melanin. DNA, you have to be of African descent. And in terms of the way you think, well, you know, you're going to be black by default, whether you think you're white or whether you don't think your ethnicity or whatever. You know, I tell you who's good determined is white people. White people, they usually are a bit real good at letting you know if you're black. You know, even if you don't look it, they'll dissociate themselves. Or when it comes down to white or black, they'll let you know. So I think those are the general. I think those are pretty much. I think that's the most you can do as far as determining whether or not somebody is black off the basis of those qualifications. And that's pretty much it. I just wanted to say that in that aspect.
Okay.
Hello?
As far as the Neanderthal thing is concerned, that one, I'm going to have to bail out on that one simply because at a genetic level, I mean, if Ossie Davis chose to have one of those Neanderthal markers, I'm not going to say he's not black. I'm not going to do that. I mean,
yeah.
I can't do that one. I can understand what you're saying as far as tracing it back, but the real issue that I have there is we've got situations where we've got black males who are as dark as I am, and they're worthless to us. They're worthless to us because being black doesn't mean anything to them, anything at all. What can I do with somebody who is absolutely anathema to black identity whatsoever? What do I do with a Tiger Woods? What do I do with a Wesley Snipes? What do I do with Taye Diggs? What do I do with them?
You leave them like OJ. You know, you leave them up to pretty much self-destruct. We dissociate ourselves with them. If they don't want to represent us, they don't have to. You know, it's just like even if you are, you can be from my neighborhood, but if you want to act like you didn't grow up in my neighborhood, then that's fine. That's cool. You do what you want to do. Those people who don't want to associate themselves with us, then let them not associate themselves with us. We'll do better, you know. It makes our job easier anyway because – you know, if he subconsciously or consciously deep down inside feels as though he doesn't want to be represent us, then, you know, that's the person that's going to commit treason. That's the person that's going to stab you in the back. You know, the Marcus Garvey, like how what happened to Marcus Garvey with the Black Star Line, or what happened to Fred Hampton. You know, those cats are the ones who are going to stab you in the back. when it gets to the nitty gritty. So if they don't want to claim black, forget them. That's just how it is, you know. That's just, unfortunately, that's just how life is. Some people are very weak. Well, no, let's be frank. A lot of people are weak. Black people are at the bottom toe. We're socially, economically weak. We know that. We talk about it all the time, how we don't have nothing. So therefore, some people are bandwaggers. They're going to hop on. They're going to associate themselves with who's in front right now, in the front line. They're groupies. And that's how I look at Tiger Woods. That's how I look at Kobe Bryant, who loves to protest and say that he's impartial to race. Those type of people, I just ignore them and say, okay, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, once we get our thing, once we get on board and everything is working in the way that we want to, then that's when everybody is going to be adhering to us and be like, oh, I'm black, or this, this, and that.
Very well stated. I've got a last word.
Again, black first. Hey, man, I never felt so good just sitting here listening to you guys, talk to you guys. This is a beautiful thing. Yeah, just going to leave it like that.
Thank you very much for joining us, brother. That was one of my regular callers there. As you notice, he's not angry or bitter with black women. He's not calling in demanding that you all must text him a message or he will be incurring at you. I just thought to throw that in there. Now, let me see here. Caller from the 347, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 347 is sitting there with a big bowl of mayonnaise and jello.
I didn't press one. I was just listening. Black first.
Press one. That's probably what I heard. Okay, let me put you back on hold there then. Yeah, she had to put the bowl down first before she could respond. I tried to be understanding. Caller from 323, you're on live with the Black Channel. I'm probably not going to take another one after this. Caller from 323, do you need to put your bowl down? Okay, caller from 323 just wants to put their bowl down for a moment. I think I'm going to get a separate number for everybody who just wants to listen, sit there and do whatever they are doing on the other end of that phone. They can just sit and do that. I'm not going to take any more phone calls here, though. So everybody who's on the line, that's why I tell you, call early. You want to call in late, and this is what happens. So maybe next time. I want to thank Mona and Melissa for joining me here tonight, because I've gotten a lot of good insight into this, and as everybody can tell, I didn't defend anything. I ask honest questions. I press people on questions, and I want you to get their honest thoughts about these things. I don't want you to get my honest thoughts. I want you to get theirs, because the truth is that, truthfully speaking, light-skinned black people cannot see the world the way that dark-skinned black people do. They can identify with us as black people, but they'll never see the world the way that we do, because the world is never going to treat them the way that they do us. They can try. They can understand the difference between being treated as a white person and a black person. But then again, that division of light-skinned black person versus dark-skinned, and so many of the isms that we have within our group, that's going to be the thing right there that's difficult. But even though they do not understand that, we have an obligation. We have an obligation as black people that we have to bridge these divides. We have to bridge these gaps. We cannot expect to survive as people by telling ourselves that we have the ability to walk into a room and trying to figure out, well, how can I gain power over another black person? You're supposed to be working with other black people to gain power over the system. I know it's tough out there for a lot of black females, and sometimes it sucks. I get that. But you are going to have to look past your hurt. Because, and this is the bottom line, fair or unfair, right or not right, nobody really cares about your hurt. And I know that's hard to swallow. But we are willing to give you a shoulder to cry on. We are not willing to give you a couch to live on for the next 20 years. At some point, you have to decide that I understand this. It's like somebody who loses their leg in war. You are going to have to make the decision that it's settled. You know what? It's not right and it's not fair that I lost my leg, but this is the way it's going to be. And I just have to accept that this is what life has given me. I've lost a leg. This is the way it is. And for all of us as black people, for the things that we cannot change, in the words of St. Francis of Assisi, we are going to have to gain serenity to accept that. Tell me, all of you bitter broads over there, and all the bitter gals out there who are saying all that mess about Melissa, will you all please tell me that the guy who put you up to and the guys who were with him putting you up to it, and for those of you who were sorry enough and stupid enough to sleep with a couple of those fellas who put you up to that, tell me, what do you have to show for your quarter of a year of obedience and panting and wagging your tail? What do you have to show for it? Tell me how much more respect in those men's eyes you have today. Tell me. What did you get out of it? Or are you so pathetic that even just a couple of seconds of telling yourself that I'm messing with her, not even I'm beating, a couple of seconds of saying I'm messing with her, that to you, that qualifies and quantifies in your mind as being justified for just a few moments, if I can just feel that in just a few moments. Is that how low you've fallen? That you're willing to accept that? That's your consolation prize? You really ought to think that over. Before I leave here tonight, I do want to cover one more thing, just in case. In case it hasn't been covered before, or just in case anybody's missed it. Tonight on this podcast, we had a couple of people who figured they were going to try something, and of course they got shut down. Like Shaq with a slap shot. There may be some other individuals out there who may be telling themselves that you won't meet fate of the last person who decided that they couldn't take on TBA themselves, so we'll see if we can play guilt by association. You might be telling yourselves that you're going to do that. I'm going to tell you right now. If you have something to say, I offer you a phone line, say it, and you make yourself look humiliated like those goons did. But if you think to yourself you're going to get your guts up, buddy, and if you think to yourself that you'll just wait a little while and you'll rear your head again later and you'll take your shot for the title again, maybe people will forget about things and whatnot, and maybe there'll be another opening for you in the future. Let me put you officially on notice. I keep my shank with me at all times. It wasn't a hat trick. It's what I am. And I can replicate that again anytime I want to. Now, I've gone easy on some folks. I've gone easy about that. But let me tell you, I'm easy going, but I'm not easy. So this is your official notice. Mona is off limits. Melissa's off limits. If you think you're going to use them to get to me, understand, they're off limits. And you can try something about that if you want to. You need to go ask some people who thought they were going to play guilt association with me. Why don't you call them up and ask them how it turned out for them? Why don't you call them up and ask them how well that went? Play the game of guilt by association with other people, and you won't play with me. You won't play it here. As black people, I want the people who are interested in solving our problems and dealing with them, which is what we do here at the Black Channel exclusively. We are the only person that says, what are we going to do about it? Here's what we're going to do. And I expect people to do something. Everybody else is out there trying to entertain you. That's why they talk about these things and masticate, but they never discuss a concrete solution to it. These are my sisters. These are my sisters. And when I say that, I mean that. They're not my sisters if I think I can get some draws. They're not my sisters because they talk to me nice. You heard Mona arguing with me earlier tonight. She's wrong, but she was arguing with me. And she's still my sister regardless. I'm not a black person out here trying to figure out how we can entertain people on this. At the end of the day, I've said this for half a decade to you. It's just as true tonight as ever before. I was the first person to say it to you like this on the internet, and it's true. Understand something. I didn't even know nothing about New Jack City when I said it. But it's the truth. We're all we got. We are all we got. You don't have to like it. You don't have to love it. You don't have to be enamored with me. But you need to understand, we are all we got. That black person sitting next to you, you better get over whatever problem that you have with light skin or dark skin, with their straighter hair or their nappy hair. You better get over it. Because in the words of the immortal Dr. John Henry Clark, that black person sitting next to you, you need to understand that that is your best chance for survival. You don't have a third or fourth. That person is the only one you got. And you may not like it, you may not love it, but you better learn to accept it. And we don't have to agree on everything. But we better agree on black first. We better, because everybody else agrees on black last or not at all. That black person sitting next to you, get your mind off her damn draws. How we're going to build and what are we going to do that. That's why this podcast has been growing like it has and people have gravitated to it like it has. That's why we are now the standard bearer. And I'm trying to do that as best I can, but I will not compromise. I'm not looking for how I can divide us. I'm looking for what brings us together and the things that we do not agree on. We will set that to the side while we work on the things that need to be worked on because there's so much to be done. So if somebody is out there telling themselves that you're going to make an opportunity, if you're telling yourselves that I think I found another way in, understand something. You're not going to be just going up against them. You're going to be going up against me. And you better come ready, because the last time the group of people tried that, it was a slaughter. I'm still standing. You can't even find them. Not bragging. I don't brag and I don't boast. I'm just saying, if you think you're going to use the old strategy of get by association or I'll attack you this way, you can try it if you want to. I'm not going to try to stop you. I didn't try to stop the last people. I let them just keep talking until they buried themselves. These are my people. I would recommend you think over. Ask the last person who thought that they had an opening. When it started, people asking, and what makes you the authority? Who do you think you are? What makes you the authority? 48 hours later, everybody was saying the same thing. Oh. So that's why they call him the authority. I'd like to thank Mona and Melissa for joining me here tonight. Do you ladies have anything else you'd like to say before we leave?
I'll just say this. Black first.
Melissa?
Black first.
And for all fellas and gals out there who did not like it, just keep hating. It just makes us look better. And concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future. Future is uncompromising.